Good evening from Van Dyke Field on what is turning out to be just about a picture-perfect evening. After a couple of rain showers went through, a little bit of lightning and thunder earlier this afternoon. But now, the sun is setting, the skies are clearing, and the Silver Streaks are ready to open the home portion of their football schedule with the Lions of Peoria High School in town. Brad Binowitz from the press box. Jim Lee is always down on the sidelines, getting the view from the perspective that we have down there. Jim, wonderful to be with you. We feel the breeze up here in the press box. What's it like out in the open?
Things have changed quite a bit since early this evening. It was very humid, damp after that mid-afternoon rainstorm, but now we've got winds out of the north, and in fact, we've had a few people scurrying around trying to find some jackets that they didn't know that they would need tonight. Not all that cold yet. I think it's still good short sleeve weather for the football players who'll be working up a sweat out here. Field is nice and soft. Who would have thought a few weeks ago, after all the drought we'd had, that we'd have a nice soft playing surface tonight? And all systems go as we get set to kick it off down here on the field.
Silver Streaks will receive the opening kickoff from Christian Miles of the Lions. A 5'9", 205-pound junior will set the starting lineups for you here momentarily. Again, the preliminary game, which would have featured the freshmen tonight, was postponed because of the wet conditions. School officials concerned about tearing up the field on a wet night, so that game was not played, and we are ready for a hard start kickoff here at 7:30 on a very short kick that's taken by O'Brien Allen at the 35-yard line right along the sideline, and he steps out of bounds. The Silver Streaks will have it at their own 37-yard line to start this game.
What a difference from last week when the Morton kicker kicked it out of the end zone every time with the exception of the most important time when he slipped a little bit and allowed us to return the ball to the 50 late in the game that set up the what would be the winning touchdown. Tonight, probably some opportunities from returns.
Peyton Isaacson in his third game as the starting quarterback, just a sophomore at 6'1", 165. Jonathan Mixon gets the start at the fullback spot. We've told you what he's done throughout the first couple of games of the season, rushing for over nearly 550 yards. And he gets the first carry moving to the right, and there's not much there. He's joined in the backfield by Trevon Diggins, a 5'9", 170-pound senior, and the sophomore Ben Holloway at 5'7", 160. Michael Moss is the lone starting wideout for the Silver Streaks. He and Will Anderson trade in plays from the sideline. O'Brien Allen, the tight end. And then that offensive line for the Silver Streaks, which has been so effective through the first five games of the year. Joe Newberry at left tackle. Michael Young at left guard. Manny Valdez, the center. Zane Crowell at right guard. And Derek Brackett, the right tackle. Diggins goes in motion. He gets handoff to the right, and he gets stuffed and pushed backwards as it's Harrison Hale, the middle linebacker, who comes barging through, wraps up Diggins, and the Silver Streaks on the first possession face a third and long.
Now, so far, Coach Tim Thornton has his Lions up front ready for the challenge as we've tried both Nixon and Diggins and talked with Jay Barshinger, offensive coach for the Streaks, about Mixon. He said that, yeah, he bunged up his ankle a little bit last week, but he said he's fine and shouldn't have any trouble carrying it through the night. And, of course, he's our marked man right now after those two 200-plus-yard games.
Nearly 300 yards rushing in the opener against DeKalb with three touchdowns in the win against Morton last week. Handoff goes to the right side. Better running room for Mixon, but he still has to fight hard to get up to the 40-yard line for just a short gain on third down, and the Silver Streaks facing a punting situation just short of the 40-yard line with a 4th and 8 upcoming.
You know, Peoria Central, I think you can look for them to be more consistent year in and year out. A lot of times they would be athletic, but you never really knew how focused they were going to be on the game. But with Tim Thornton, the coach moving over from Woodruff, he's a good one. He demands a lot out of these players, is much more organized, and he'll have them ready to play every night.
Drake Sykes to take the punt. Steps forward, gets a good leg into it at the 29-yard line, held up by the wind a little bit, and taken at the 25-yard line by Eric Baird, who rushes around and then cuts up field. Stopped at the 35-yard line where the Lions take over on their first offensive possession. 9:54 to go here in the opening quarter.
Drake Sykes has done a nice job in the early season punting. I don't think he's shanked one yet. Everything he's hit has been nice. In fact, he rooted us out of a real tough hole last week, kicked it 50 yards in the air, and pinned Morton back into their own territory on one especially big kick in that game.
Eric Baird, the converted running back, in at quarterback, a 6'1", 175-pound senior, joined by fullback Ben Hood, a 5'9", 196-pound junior, and the tailback Harrison Hale. We called his name defensively on the Silver Streaks opening possession. Hale, at 6'2", 211, is a senior. In the short shotgun, And Baird on the key, or rather the handoff going to the far side. They get it to the wideout, Moses McConnell, who cuts up the far side of the field, and he does step out of bounds, apparently, at the Silver Streaks 30-yard line. He was still cutting downfield another 15 yards. He was on his way to the end zone, but apparently he heard the whistle. We couldn't hear it from the far side of the field here, and Silver Streaks getting an early wake-up call here.
Yeah, and got a little break that he stepped out of bounds over there, because you're right, he was off for a touchdown. Let's hope the Streaks defense can wake up after that one. But, you know, as you talked with Coach Doherty, Brad, he said that Peoria will throw a lot of different wrinkles at you, and didn't look like we were at all ready for that one.
Goes as a gain of 37 on the first play of the game. Silver Streaks gained only 2 yards on their opening possession. Baird back to pass. Sideline route caught and finally taken down inbounds just inside the sideline marker. Martez Cox with the catch on the far side of the field. He still picks up. Well, where are they going to mark it exactly? Again, if 8 on first down, call it 7. And 2nd and 3 upcoming.
Ben Holloway with a good solid tackle, the sophomore for the Silver Streaks on defense. He's come up big on a number of things this year, running the football. Of course, he had the kickoff return last week that set up Mixon's touchdown late in the game.
Second down from the Lions already at the Galesburg 21-yard line. We have played just under 3 minutes here in the opening quarter. Silver Streaks, 3 plays and a punt. And the Lions' first offensive possession. Handoff up the middle on a little delay across the 20-yard line goes the Peoria Lions. Very close to a first down as it goes to Harrison Hale.
And Andrew Barnes there for the stick for the Silver Streaks. Good solo tackle right at the line of scrimmage. And only got a yard out of it, but it'll be 3rd and call it 1.5 yards.
From the Galesburg 20, defensively for the Silver Streaks. Opponents converting 48% of their third downs throughout the first 2 games of this season. Set the Peoria lineup here after this next play. Empty backfield for Baird. 3 wideouts to the right, and Baird will keep it, trying to get to the outside. Chase, and he gets the corner, cutting up the far side, jumps over a man, and steps out of bounds at about the 10-yard line.
Jonathan Mixon a little mad at himself that he wasn't able to get the quarterback there. He had a shot at him in the backfield, but a slippery night, you're not going to get a whole lot of traction, and he just wasn't able to quite bring him down. He runs for the first down. Of course, last week, Rossi, the quarterback for Morton, gave us some problems, but it wasn't running around the end. It was just taking the ball straight up the middle.
First and goal now for the Lions, with the tail of the football sitting just inside the Galesburg 10-yard line. And again, 3 wideouts to the right, 2 to the left for the Lions with an empty backfield. The 5-man front. Now a man in motion gets the handoff. McConnell turn. Nope, they keep it with Baird. Silver Streaks read it well. Gains a couple on first down. It'll be 2nd and goal.
Yeah, Baird didn't get away from Mixon and O'Brien Allen that time. Was dragged down quickly. We could use a turnover here. How about a fumble inside our own 10 on this wet turf?
First opportunity for the home crowd to see a Silver Streaks team that started off 2-0 for the first time in 30 years. And they certainly don't want to see their team fall behind right off the bat like this. But we know the Lions are a talented team, despite just a 1-1 record compared to the 2-0 for the Silver Streaks. They handled Galesburg easily last year. Baird with a quick sideline route. It's caught on the far side as Cox dives forward trying to get inside and get to the goal line, but the knee was down. Oh, nope, no, they're going to give him the touchdown.
Well, in the NFL, there was no doubt. He broke the plane, but I thought, well, maybe they're going to mark it where his knee hit, which was just shy of the goal line, but he clearly crossed the plane. So after the officials conferred over here, the back judge and the side judge, they raised the arms and gave him the touchdown.
So the Lions strike on the opening drive. Crisply and efficiently moving it downfield. The biggest play of the drive was the very first play with McConnell ran at 37 yards, and they just kept moving it downfield. High snap, but the hold is down.
Yeah,
the kick is
go.
Wide left. 6-0 Peoria, 7:16 to go first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com. Keep it here with 7:16 to go in the opening quarter here at Van Dyke Field. Lions move it downfield 65 yards in just six plays. They take 2 minutes 38 seconds off the clock. And the touchdown pass from Baird to Martez Cox of 9 yards for the touchdown. And it's 6-0 Lions here in the first quarter.
In trying to analyze this one, and sometimes you can do too much of that, but I know you were talking with Coach Doherty about whether Peoria would be a little, short week playing on a Sunday and then again on a Friday night. But the one thing they've got going for them, they played such a good team in Simeon that whoever else they were going to play this week probably going to seem a little softer, because Simeon, 8A power, big and strong, so I'm sure the streaks seem a little bit less of an opponent to them out there on the field.
Again with the short spinning kick going for the sideline, O'Brien Allen backs up to the 35, gets a block, sidesteps a man, runs into his own teammate at the 35-yard line, finally run out of bounds just across the Galesburg 40 to the 41. Nice little run back by O'Brien Allen. Lions did a good job defending the middle of the field so he couldn't get out there and run into open territory. They kept him up along the sideline, but still a pretty efficient little return.
Yeah, bruising run. You know, Allen's not going to – he's straight up and down runner. He's going to slam into you chest first, but bounced off one or two guys and got a few yards for us.
7:10 to go in this opening quarter. Lions lead 6-0. Both teams have had it once already. Silver Streaks seek their first down of the game. Handoff goes to the left as it goes to Mixon across the 40. Gains a couple, and then he is stacked up and pushed backward. Good Lions defensive line of Josh Augusta. We'll talk more about him as the game goes along. At one defensive end, Ben Hood, the other defensive end, at 5'9", 196. Augusta, by the way, is listed at 6'5", and 300 pounds. A senior is getting a lot of Division I looks. Yeah. And then in the middle, Rob Walker, the third, 5'10", 254, and Joe Billen at 6'5", 233.
Yeah, the coach mentioned Walker played a great game for him there last week. On the tackle that time, it was 61 linebacker Darian Simmons. They're very physical.
Second and 8 for the Silver Streaks, trying to get Diggins to the outside, and the Lions were in the backfield. Trevon doing everything he could just to get back to the line of scrimmage, which he does not, and he loses a yard. It'll bring up 3rd and 9.
Well, this Peoria team, to a man, is certainly the fastest team we've played so far. DeKalb and Morton were real solid football teams with some key people, but this Peoria team just looks like they're going to make it very tough to turn the corners if you're trying to run east and west and inside, as you said, Brad, with those big experienced linemen in there. It's not going to be an easy road to hoe tonight at all, as the Streaks facing a 3rd and long here.
3rd and 8, as they'll credit Diggins for getting back to the line of scrimmage. He goes in motion. Isaacson with a deep drop and a little screen pass across the middle. It's caught. Mixon gets to the 50-yard line and then taken down right at midfield. But he should have the first down just across midfield in Lions territory.
Play was well executed. Peyton Isaacson let him come through, let it go at the last second as he got some pressure. Mixon with kind of a one-handed grab out there and then able to wiggle his way upfield for the first down. And don't be surprised tonight if we do get forced to throw the ball a little bit. We've seen Peoria Central be awfully tough on our run here in the first two series. We really haven't seen what we can do with the passing game because we haven't had to yet. This may be that night where we have to break that out.
Yeah, Mixon has the only 2 receptions on the season for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg had no pass completions last week. Handoff up the middle. Mixon trying to spin off a defender. Lands a yard deeper into Lions territory at the 49-yard line. Lots of penetration by that Lions defense into the Silver Streaks backfield. Good pressure by the linebacking core. And Silver Streaks haven't gotten much on the ground so far tonight. Just 5 yards on a total of 6 carries.
You know, we talked earlier today on the morning sports report that Josh Augusta might not play for Central. That's what Coach Tim Thornton said. He was questionable. Doubt we'll see him for as many plays, but he is out there right now. The big kid is a force.
Holloway in motion, back to pass. Isaacson under pressure now, gets it away. Caught by Allen just inside the Lions' 40-yard line. He's got a first down inside the 39. Gain of 10.
Boy, heck of a throw by Isaacson. You know, some that have scouted us might think, well, you got a sophomore back there. He's just going to be a game manager. Probably doesn't have much arm strength, but I think he showed you right there. He can zip that thing. He threw that ball into the wind.
Anyone who knows the Isaacson family and has watched Peyton grow up knows what he can do. Now Allen out of the tight end spot actually splits out wide to the right Will Anderson, the wideout to the left. Holloway in motion, takes the handoff, gets to the outside, inside the Lions' 30-yard line, brought down by a high tackle. Looked like they might have even gotten him up around the face mask. No flag came out, though. Holloway gets it inside the 35 to the 34 for a gain of 5.
Well, and this is going to be the key, I think, to be able to loosen up our interior running game. Tonight we're going to have to kind of set that up by utilizing the pass play, running around wide, using some different people. And Holloway, who had some big carries for us in the first week against DeKalb, comes up with a nice first down carry there.
Brings up second and 5 for the Silver Streaks. Approaching the 4-minute mark of the first quarter, Silver Streaks trail 6-0. Isaacson, a little hole for Mixon across the middle, gets inside the 30-yard line, close to a first down. The side judge initially indicating they are just going to give Mixon the first down. They'll spot it right at the 28 for a gain of 6.
Well, Mixon really got bulldogged down there by Johnny Taylor that time for the Lions. Threw him down head first, but not before Mixon had picked up the first down.
Silver Streaks finding a few more holes across the middle of that line there. Galesburg now inside the Lions 30 to the 28. Under 4 minutes to go here in this opening quarter. Good luck to Teresa Bice of Galesburg and the Liebers Hobo Express, or the Liebers Boxcar Express. Touchdown contest, hand up the middle. Silver Streaks still on their feet as Mixon bullies his way inside the 25 down to the 24-yard line. If the Silver Streaks can score a touchdown in this opening quarter, and it may have to be on this drive as quickly as time is expiring, Teresa Bice of Galesburg would win a $10 gift certificate to Liebers Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Well, and I'm not sure Eric Lieber realized just how many sandwiches he may lose up there this year, because I think 6 out of the 8 quarters that we've played so far, we've had a winner, so let's keep it up.
Second and, call it, a long 5 for the Silver Streaks. Just inside the 25 of the 24-yard line, trailing 6-0, on the move with 3 minutes to go. Isaacson tackled from behind as the keeper taken down by Augusta. He faked the handoff, but Augusta stayed right with him, dove, got him at the ankles, and Isaacson is down for a loss back to the 27.
Augusta right there in that play showed you why he is so highly sought after, because, you know, we run into quite a few big kids, even plus 300 pounds, but not with that much quickness. Coach Tim Thornton said he's got very quick feet. He's very agile for his size and able to trip up the quarterback from the backside there. That was a heck of a play by the big man.
And great hands, too.
Yep.
Third and 9 for the Silver Streaks, who call timeout with 2:26 to go here in this opening quarter. Galesburg facing a 3rd and 9 upcoming. Want to halftime, still quite a ways away here tonight, Jim, but we do want to mention our halftime guest tonight. A little Galesburg connection, as we try to do so often.
Yeah, it was fun to sit down with George Carter Jr., who has a boxing match tomorrow night up in Davenport. Of course, if you've been following that at all, he's turned professional boxer, and he's had 6 matches and won all 6 of those so far. He said he's going to box at about 160, 165 neighborhood tomorrow night up there, and it'll be one of the 2 feature events at the Danceland Ballroom. And we'll talk with George not only about boxing, we'll talk about his training, a little bit about his football playing days as well. He was a running back and a defensive back for the Silver Streaks. And interesting to note, George, I asked him, you know, because he's a fighter, and of course Steve Glasgow, not a boxer, but has been in that ultimate fighting thing for a while. I said, have you ever talked to Steve? He goes, as a matter of fact, Steve's been sparring with me.
Oh.
He said Steve really hadn't done much actual boxing before, but just in the last few weeks, he's been sparring a little bit and told George, hey, I'm here for you whenever you want. And he said Steve's actually got to be pretty adept after kind of a slow start, and we know how tough he is, so that's kind of neat to have those 2 former streaks out there.
3rd and 9 for the Silver Streaks coming out of the timeout. Diggins in motion. Handoff goes right to Mixon. Bounces to the outside. Bursts forward to the 20-yard line. He'll be a couple of yards short of the first down and likely 2 down territory anyway.
Yeah, that play served its purpose. Able to get you into good territory on the 4th down. Mixon with a dive forward. They're going to mark it back at the 21, so it's going to be 4th and a good 3 here.
Yeah. In preview of what's to come next season between the Western Big Six and the Mid-State Six, there's 3 games tonight involving 6 of those teams, this being one of them. The featured game on the schedule is Alleman and Richwoods. Alleman leads 14-7 in the second quarter. Handoff goes to the right side, and the Lions stack up that Galesburg offensive line. There just wasn't anywhere to go for the Silver Streaks to try to convert on that 4th down play. Mixon gains 1 yard, but he needed 3. And the drive comes to an end with a minute 42 to go here in this first quarter. Silver Streak still trailing 6-0.
Well, it's all right to have a drive and don't put up any points. At least we showed we can get a few first downs here. But what you don't want to do is turn around and let Peoria rip off a big play here early in this possession after they're already up 6-0. It was nice to see the Lions miss their extra point. Certainly we've had our share of troubles with that. Last week's game wouldn't have been near the nail biter had we made some extra points. And Peoria missed their first one here tonight.
Four touchdowns last week for the Silver Streaks, and they missed on all four of their extra point attempts. Now an empty backfield for Baird as this drive for the Lions starts at their own 20. Swings it out to the outside. It's caught by Sharon Thompson and finally taken down just across the first down marker at the 30-yard line on the far side of the field from the press box, the Galesburg sideline, the home side. And a little swing route to the outside. They're actually going to say he was down behind the first down marker, so it'll go as a gain of about 8.5.
Ben Holloway, the initial player there to try and slow up the play, but he slid off the guy, and Tyson Parks actually came over and made the strong high tackle, but not until they'd gained 8 yards.
Second and two upcoming. Minute 36 to go here in this first quarter. Lions with the ball leading 6-0. Handoff straight up the middle, and that'll be, oh, ball free. Cops loose.
We got it
at the 35-yard line, and the Silver Streaks have it. Matt Kitch falls on it with a fumble recovery at the Lions 34, and there's the turnover Jim was calling for on the last possession. Silver Streaks will certainly take it here with 90 seconds to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, sophomore B.J. Harris got the handoff, and it was interesting because I thought he did a great, the handoff was a little behind him, and he carried it on his hip for about 2 yards. But then once he crossed the line of scrimmage, I thought he'd tuck the ball in at that point. Well, apparently as he was in the process of moving that thing into his breadbasket, somebody hit him, knocked it out, and the Streaks with the first big break of the game.
Getting to the outside, Ben Holloway now trying to cut back, allows a man to catch up to him, still inside the 20-yard line, and a first down for the Silver Streaks as Holloway takes it down to the 19. Gain of 15 on first down, biggest running play of the night for Galesburg, and how nice that they can mix it up a little bit, not having to go to Mixon and Diggins all the time.
And the final 3 or 4 yards of that run, most impressive, because Holloway didn't get touched for a while going around the end, but when he first got hit, he was able to shed that tackler and fight his way forward inside the 20.
Minute 10 to go in the first quarter. Diggins in motion. Handoff goes to the right. Not much there for Mixon. No. Still on his feet, but he's pushed all the way back to the 25. Forward progress. Likely back to the line of scrimmage, but not much there. So Teresa Bice of Galesburg has another chance to win in the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest here, but Silver Streaks have 20 yards to go in the final 45 seconds of this opening quarter to do it.
Yeah, Mixon a little frustrated after that one out there on the field. He was barking back. I don't know if he was barking at one of the Peoria players or his own lineman, but the exchange just wasn't very clean that time. That's got to be a lot more crisp between Peyton and Jonathan to be able to make that play happen. It's just too slow to develop.
Down under 30 seconds to go in the first quarter. Second and 11 for the Silver Streaks. Hand off to Diggins, trying to pop to the outside. Cuts through a little bit of a hole, but there's not much there. He gets back across the 20 down to the 18-yard line. And that will be the final play of the opening quarter. Silver Streaks will face a 3rd and 8 when we come back after this first quarter break. One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field. Home opener for the Silver Streaks. It's Peoria 6, Galesburg nothing. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I discovered Handyman would give my buddy and me a ride out to Lake Story. So we've been loading up our fishing poles and tackle boxes a couple of times a week. It's so great to get out and do something.
Whether you're faced with a temporary or permanent disability, a doctor's appointment isn't the only reason to leave the house. Get out there, live your life. Call Handyman, we'll pick you up, as well as your personal assistant to help you manage your belongings. And we'll take you back home. Handyman, helping you live independently.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field, home opener for undefeated Galesburg High School against the 1-1 Lions of Peoria High School. Tell you what else is happening around the area tonight in high school football. We already mentioned the Alleman Richwoods game. Pioneers leading 14-7 in the second quarter there. Moline with a big contest at Crete Moni tonight, the number one team in Class 6A, taking on the Maroons. this evening. Peoria Notre Dame is at United Township High School. Rock Island at Chicago Brooks, and then Quincy plays tomorrow at home against Chicago Harlan. Prairie Land Black tonight as Prairie Land goes into divisional play in the conference. Lewistown at Abingdon tonight, both teams looking for their first win of the year. BPC Avon plays host to South Fulton. North Fulton at home against Peoria Heights. Heights the only team in that division with a win. Everybody else is 0-2. Here's 3rd and 9 for the Silver Streaks from the 19-yard line as we get ready to start the second quarter. Handoff goes to the right, little bit of a hole, and now somehow the Silver Streaks make something out of it, pushing the line forward inside the 15-yard line, now close to the 13. Not much there at the initial handoff, but somehow Mixon gained 7 out of that.
Yeah, so we're basically the same situation we were the last possession with a 4th down. Actually, this is a little farther to go at four yards here, maybe a little over that. And nice to get that turnover, but we'd like to be able to turn that into points and get this game tied up. We're working with the wind at our backs and towards the scoreboard, so we like our position in the second quarter.
On the season, Galesburg 2 of 5 on 4th downs, but they did not convert on their first 4th down opportunity earlier in the game. Mixon held to 26 yards rushing so far. Isaacson to pass, throws it across the middle of the field, off Ben Holloway's hands in the end zone, and it falls incomplete. The Streaks will turn it over on downs.
I thought a nice throw by Isaacson. He really rifled it, and it went off the right shoulder pad of Holloway. He had to throw that between a couple of defenders.
Three of them, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Peoria was sleeping on that play, but it was a play that could have been made. It would have been a tough catch for Holloway with the way that ball was coming in there, but I like the play call. I don't think we're going to pick up 4 yards in that situation, pounding straight ahead. Nice to throw a little different wrinkle in there.
Lions take over at their own 14-yard line, just underway in the second quarter. 11-10 to play. Peoria leading 6-0. Baird in the short shotgun. Man in motion. Baird rolling right. Now he gives the handoff to Robert Walker, trying to get to the outside. Cuts back toward the middle a bit. Across the 20, close to the 25-yard line. And he'll be down just short of the first down marker or right on it. The referee takes a look at the sideline. He's going to move the chains.
Number of streaks in on the tackle. I thought our two main contributors were Michael Moss and Jacob Ryden. Of course, Ryden, we called his name a lot last week. He played a terrific game on both sides of the ball.
So the Lions on one play give themselves a little more room to work on the field. Gaining 10, just short of the 24 now. 10:45 to go in this first half. Run through the rest of the schedule as we get a moment here to work through it. Baird now takes the snap, dropping back, under pressure, rolling out to the near side, rolling back to the 10-yard line. He avoids one tackle and then almost steps out of bounds before he throws it onto the track, and the flag comes down by the back judge.
He got busted, I think. They're going to call him for grounding, aren't they?
That's got to be what it is.
Good pressure by the Streaks. Really, really forced him out of the pocket, made him run for his life there. And he just, as you said, Brad, you were a little closer to that over there on the press box side, but looked like he just tossed it to save the loss.
Yeah, he was a step and a half before he stepped out of bounds, but he was 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And there is the intentional grounding call, which it had to be, which, of course, is also loss of down. So loss of yardage, loss of down. And that's good for the Silver Streaks. That'll bump the Lions back to the 17-yard line, it looks like. Are they going to move it back behind the 15? Nope, it's sitting right at the 17. So the loss of 7 and the down.
I don't know if you caught the pregame discussion. I was talking with Coach Tim Thornton of Central. I asked him about his thoughts on the merger of the conferences next year, and he said he had mixed feelings. By and large, he liked it. He said he really would like to play a few other teams, though, because they've had the freedom to play, 4 non-conference games every year. And now they're not going to have any when they join the Western Big Six. And I think he kind of likes seeing some different teams from time to time.
All right, 2nd and 17 now for the Lions. Baird alone in the backfield. Sets a man in motion. McConnell, who takes the handoff, trying to get to the outside, bumps off one defender, slowed down enough, and he's wrapped up back at the 15-yard line.
Good surge by the Silver Streaks. Led again by number 81, Michael Moss. He was joined over there by O'Brien Allen and another host of Silver Streaks tacklers. So they're fired up, and now a big 3rd and long.
Nisega back to the line of scrimmage. Maybe even a pickup of one, it looks like, with the ball sitting almost at the 18-yard line. So we'll call it third and 16 now.
Look at Augusta. He's wide right, Brad. The big kid, the 300-pounder, is in wide receiver spot.
And out there in single coverage.
You got to think for blocking.
And he spins back to him, who comes back for the pass. Woo! He's hit once from behind, stays on his feet, gets across the original line of scrimmage, across the 25 to the 26-yard line. So the pass is complete. He gains 10.
You talk about the need for gang tackling. When that big boy gets the ball and heads upfield, you better have some help.
Yeah, he got hit once from behind, but he stayed on his feet. They're going to spot it right at the 27.
Matt Hawkins, the lion's share of the tackle there for the Streaks.
So he picks up 9. But punting formation now and having to punt into the wind for Eric Baird. Good snap. Gets the kick away. Good one. Spiraling through the wind, and the Streaks back away from it. And it bounces, and the Lions down it right at the 50-yard line. Holloway was there ready to catch it.
Yeah.
And then he sprinted away from it as it came down, as the coverage was already downfield. And Galesburg has very good field position right at midfield.
Yeah, Holloway made us a little nervous there because that ball got very close, and then he had to get out of the way in a hurry. You don't want it to let it touch him. All of a sudden, then it would be a free ball. And after a great Streaks defensive stand, we didn't want to see a turnover there. He got away from it. We've got it back. Let's see if we can't tie this up with 8:50 to go before the half.
Silver Streaks trailing 6-0. First down at midfield. Baird 4-for-4 passing, by the way, for 33 yards. That his first completion to the big guy, Augusta. Here's a handoff to Mixon, trying to bounce to the outside. Lions contain him, keeping him to the inside. He's pushing the line forward up to the 45 of Peoria. As Mixon was hit a couple of yards short of that, but he just kept pumping forward. Actually, it was Diggins who had the carry. And a good little run for Trevon, his best of the night so far.
It was good to see former Silver Streaks coach Sean Hickey over here on the sidelines before the game. He's, even though he's not coaching out here this year, out here supporting the team. I'm sure, even though, you know, he's not on the sidelines, Brad, when that's in your blood and he loves football and he likes these kids, and he's going to come out and support them.
Mix up by the Lions defensively at the line. Isaacson to throw, and it is complete to Mixon, who gets the first down, sprints up the near sideline, inside the 10, touchdown! The first passing touchdown of the season for the Silver Streaks. And who else but Jonathan Mixon, who's had 3 rushing touchdowns in each of the first 2 games. This time, it's the catch and the run of 45 yards, and the Streaks are on the board, tying it up at 6.
If we couldn't get him free inside, we get him outside into some open territory. And Mixon, again, is surprising to other teams, I think, with his speed once he gets that first step or two.
Silver Streaks can take the lead here with the extra point. Tanner Laird in. Isaacson with the hold. Gets it down. The kick has plenty of distance. It's good. Silver Streaks take the lead. 8:02 to go. First half. It's 7-6. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
Silver Streaks, 2 play. 50 yards. And they take just 48 seconds off the clock. A 45-yard pass play from Isaacson to Mixon. The extra point is good. And Galesburg takes a 7-6 lead. It makes a winner of Mallory Darst of Galesburg in the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest. Galesburg scoring here in the second quarter. Mallory's name drawn out as the second quarter contestant. And with 8:02 to go in the game, Galesburg now has a 7-6 lead. Sykes' kickoff is a short one, spinning on end over end. Very odd formation, out of bounds at the 18-yard line. The flag comes up, and it'll be Peoria ball at the 35.
Well, we complimented Sykes' punting, which has been outstanding. That kickoff left a lot to be desired, and then it goes out of bounds.
Especially with the wind behind him.
Yeah, you're gonna suffer putting Peoria in pretty good field position with that one.
The Silver Streaks just showed how important that field position is. Starting that last drive at the 50-yard line and rewarding the defense. And the Silver Streaks showing, as they have done through the first two games of the season, with a quick play. A couple of three-play scoring drives against DeKalb. They had a two-play scoring drive against Morton. It took them just two plays to get on the board here in the second quarter tonight with a 7-6 lead. Now let's see how the Lions respond as they trail for the first time this evening. Baird again with five wideouts. Talk about a wide-open offense. That's McConnell in motion. Doesn't take the handoff. Baird with a keeper. Sprints straight forward upfield. Stops short of the 40 for a gain of four on first down. What a weapon to have a guy like Baird who you could put into the quarterback spot after being a running back last season and make the transition as efficiently as he seems to have done through these first couple of games.
Yeah, he really nice fake there, too. I thought he was going to give it to McConnell, which in hindsight might have been the better move because McConnell was going to have some room over here on this side, but Baird tucked it in, settled for a gain of three or four.
You're tuning in, expecting Cardinal baseball, forgetting that it's high school football season. Cardinals are in a rain delay at home against Milwaukee, so you're not missing anything there. Second and six for the Lions from their own 39-yard line. Baird back to pass, now under pressure, dumps it off, intended for Augusta, but underthrown as he just got rid of it with the pressure coming from Manny Valdez, and it'll be third and six.
Yeah, and really, he grounded that one, but he had a receiver right out there, just threw it right at his ankles to get rid of it, so you're not going to draw a flag on that when you've got somebody in the area, but he really had no intention of trying to complete that one.
First incompletion of the night for Eric Baird. Stops the clock with 7:14 to go here in this first quarter.
Nice to see this game is settled in. You know, when Peoria scored on their first possession, a couple of big plays, and you're thinking, hope this doesn't wear on our confidence. Well, we've hung in there and fought our way back in, got the lead here, and it seems like we've got ourselves a good game the rest of the night now.
Lions 0 for 2 on third down so far tonight. Single setback lining up behind Baird, who rolls out to the right looking to pass. He throws it downfield with an open man, but he overthrows McConnell in Galesburg territory at the 43. It falls incomplete. And it'll bring up fourth down.
Yeah, the minute he let that go, you knew it was going to have a little too much air underneath of it. Even for McConnell, who's got some height and is a good leaper over there on the sidelines, nothing he could do about that one.
Stops the clock with 7:09 to go here in this first half. And a punt coming from Baird.
A great job by the Streaks defense. This Peoria team's got some good athletes, and we are up to the task. Good pressure again on Baird, the quarterback, as he had two men bearing down on him when he threw that.
Not a strong wind, but now it picks up again as the snap gets away. Juggles it a little bit, then gets a spinning kick away to the near side. Might have been deflected, and it'll be down at the 42-yard line of the Silver Streaks. Baird was down, comes up a little bit lame, favoring the right leg. No flag down, though.
Interesting there because he bobbled the ball a little bit.
Yep.
Streaks had good pressure. O'Brien Allen was leading the charge. Well, he came in there, nearly got a hand on it, and then Baird falls down, and the official was looking right at it, and Baird looked over at him, and the official just shook his head. Nope, not buying it, not buying it. Baird limps off the field, but I don't think he was any worse for the wear.
Mixon lines up as a single setback behind Isaacson with the two wingbacks. Holloway goes in motion. He takes the handoff, tries to get to the outside, now cuts upfield, and he's stopped. Maybe back to the line of scrimmage. It'll be second and 10 from the Silver Streaks 43. Mentioned the Prairie Land Black a little while ago as six teams in that division, only one of the six with a win as they go into divisional play. Well, the opposite side of that is the Prairie Land Blue, where five of the six teams are 2-0, including the Knoxville Blue Bullets, who are at Havana tonight, Farmington at Rushville Industry, which is the only 1-1 team on that side of the conference, and Elmwood Brimfield at Beardstown with a good-looking game there, two teams at 2-0. In motion, Diggins rolling out to the near side, Isaacson. Now he tucks it underneath, and he's wrapped up quickly at the 45-yard line, just across the 45, but he picks up only two.
Well, he bounces right back up, but Peyton got roughed up pretty good on that one. He kept the football in a several Peoria Lions over there to deny him any ground to run, including Harrison Hale, a senior linebacker. And I think Peyton was up a lot faster than the defensive guys, though. He's ready to run this third down play. And really would just soon get a first down and work a little more of that clock before we go to the locker room.
Galesburg 1-4 on third downs tonight. They lead 7-6 on third and eight. Fake handoff up the middle. They give it to Holloway from the outside. He had some running room, and then he gets clocked by two Peoria players at the 48-yard line. It looked like that was going to open up for some running room, but they closed that hole quickly, and the Streaks face fourth down here.
Well, it's the same guy, Harrison Hale, who made the play on the other side against us on the second down play. He was there along with teammate Robert Walker, and there's that speed of the Lions. If we run that play against some other teams this year, you're probably going to see that result in some good yardage, but Peoria just so quick, they adjusted and saved the day.
So the Streaks now punting. Sykes, no pressure whatsoever.
Oh, he crushed it.
Gets a huge one up and high and deep inside the 10-yard line. There's a flag down, and Baird is down at the 5-yard line. Woo! With a flag down on the far side of the field.
All
what a
sorts
punt.
Of good things, yeah. Sykes got that thing way up in the air. And then I thought the guy was going to fair catch it. He didn't. He cuts left, and there, I mean, even the most novice football fan saw that clip. I didn't see who committed it, but they knocked our defender, I mean, right in the middle of the field, hitting from the back, and that flag went down immediately. So the Lions be backed up clear inside their 5-yard line to start this one.
So Sykes rips off the punt. There's a flag down against the Lions, and Baird lost yardage on the return. So that couldn't have gone any better for the Silver Streaks, other than maybe getting a turnover out of it. And the Lions are going to have it at the 3-yard line. What a kick. So the Streaks net 49 on that. 5:03 to go here in the first half. And Baird in the end zone to take the snap. It's a good snap. He rushes straight forward right into a wall and stopped at the 5-yard line. He does pick up a couple.
Yeah, he ran right into Ryden, number 70, and also Zane Crowell, number 50, up there. And the Streaks don't give him much. We'll call it a yard, yard and a half on first down. You know, we were talking about the kick from Sykes, too. When he punts the ball, he punts the nose of the ball is up in the air. So when he's got a wind at his back, it just gets maximum carry, and it was a thing of beauty to see that kick.
Peoria breaks huddle. Second and eight from their own 5-yard line. Under 4.5 minutes to play here in this first half.
Augusta wide right again here.
Two wideouts to the left, two to the right. High snap, Baird corrals it, hands off to the right. A little bit of running room for the Lions. Moving the pile forward, short of the 10-yard line. A little more room to work with. And it'll be third, and we'll call it a long four.
Well, so if we can hold right here, still plenty of time for us to maybe get the ball back and get another score before the half. If they make the first down here, I guess we've still got some timeouts. We still might be able to get it back, but... You always got to guard against a big play with Peoria, though. They've got some speed merchants, and if you miss an assignment, they could take it all the way.
Lions have not yet converted on third down, 0-3. This would be a big one for the Streaks defensively if they can hold them. Under a little bit of pressure, pass right across the middle. Augusta comes from the left and catches it, and he's got the first down up to the 23-yard line. Perfectly executed pass play from Baird to the big kid, Josh Augusta. And there it is at the 23.
Well, our players finding out what life would be like in the NFL, because Augusta is the type of guy that would be a tight end in the NFL. I mean, he's Kellen Winslow type of guy, great big off the end, and he's got good hands, and there isn't anything this kid can't do.
So a new set of downs for the Lions. Swing pass to the near side. It's caught, and then an immediate hit on Martez Cox, as Diggins and Holloway were right there to stop him after the quick completion. Stopped short of the 30-yard line. Stops the clock with 3:05 to go in this first half. Silver Streaks leading 7-6. Been a good defensive battle. Curious to hear what Tim Doherty has to say at halftime about his assessment of his defense. He was frustrated at times with how well Morton moved the ball at times last week. Peoria moved it right downfield on its opening possession, and the Streaks have stopped them since, as here's a Big defensive play for the Silver Streaks, a running play up the middle that goes nowhere, and quickly third and five for Peoria.
Yeah, you know, Brian Allen again there among the linebacking core for Galesburg, staying home and making sure that Baird not able to run up the middle. And, you know, they're able to get a couple of yards on that play, but if Baird doesn't sidestep or make some moves one way or the other, I don't think he's ever going to pick up a whole lot on that play, because the Streaks doing a nice job in their assignments, not giving up anything inside right now.
Six carries for 11 yards tonight for the quarterback, Eric Baird. Two wideouts to the right, one to the left. They pack the line in a little more tightly with a single setback with Baird. Back to pass, gets a block, frees it away to Augusta, who juggles it, then hangs on to it at the 45-yard line for the completion.
Trevon Diggins is saying the ball hit the ground. He nearly intercepted it there.
He
tried to strip it away from the big guy, but that's a pretty tall order, and Augusta able to reach his arms out there and yank that ball back in before he hit the ground. That was an impressive play again by 305-pound Josh Augusta.
A gain of 18 on the play. Baird with 70 yards passing now as his numbers are starting to creep up there. Augusta's third reception for 41 yards. Under 2 minutes to go in the first half. Lions approaching midfield now at their own 47. Baird alone in the backfield. Man in motion, but the Baird with the keeper instead. A little bit of a hole across left tackle, but he stopped short of the 50. Tripped up underneath. And I think it was Jacob Ryden who got him. Gain of two.
Peoria can't afford to take a whole lot of time here calling plays. It's down to a minute 25 and still rolling, and the ball not quite to midfield yet.
Haven't used a timeout yet. Silver Streaks did use one timeout earlier. Four-man defensive front for the Silver Streaks. Baird with a single setback, rolling to the far side of the field. Looking downfield, throws it high, and it's caught.
Nice.
At the Galesburg 35-yard line.
Quite a catch out there.
McConnell went up high for it. And when he got up there, the ball ended up right into his numbers. Beautifully thrown ball by Baird, right on the money. And that goes as a gain of 16.
That's what they tried to do last possession, only on a more tight sideline route, and Baird overthrew him. That time, just put it up there, and he brings it in.
At the Galesburg 35-yard line, Baird rolling out to the near side, the press box side, throws it into the flat, underthrown, nobody there. Streaks dive for it. And Michael Moss comes up short for the incompletion, second down. Again, coming up at halftime, former Silver Streak, George Carter, Jim Lee's guest. We'll hear about his boxing career and some of his high school memories, too, Jim. Did I hear you say that right?
Yep, touched on that. And it's mainly boxing. It was really fascinating to find out some of what his regimen is. And, of course, he's got a full-time job, too, at G&M. So he told him he gets up in training time, gets up about 5 in the morning, runs 8 miles, and then goes, throws pop around all day.
Exactly a minute to go in the first half. Second and 10. Baird stands tall. Sideline route complete, and McConnell is gone. Wide open down the Galesburg sideline. Pass thrown perfectly, and McConnell has the touchdown reception.
And I think somebody slipped over here, and that's all it took in one-on-one coverage. It might have been Trayvon. And once he caught it, it was... He could have walked the sideline into the end zone the last 20 yards.
Second touchdown pass of the night for Eric Baird. Puts the Lions back on top by 5 with 53 and a half seconds to go, and now Peoria burns a timeout. Their second. Other games going on around the area tonight. Lincoln Trail Conference, Mid-County at West Prairie. Both of those teams looking for their first win. Clearly, the marquee game of the night in the conference is United at Mercer County. Both teams at 2-0. Also, Weathersfield Annawan at Stark County. Both of those teams 2-0. River Valley entertains Princeville, and West Central travels to Ridgewood tonight. West Central tonight, Monmouth-Roseville taking on Orion. That's being played at Monmouth College. Macomb at West Hancock. Rock Ridge at Pittsfield, Griggsville, Perry. Princeton at Illini West. And Sherrard, non-conference game against IVC this evening.
Be very interested to see how the Alleman and Richwoods game comes out. Alleman just this week ascending to the number one ranking in 4A. Richwoods stinging a little after that loss to Washington last week. And we've said for a long time, when you watch Richwoods and you watch Alleman, you just feel like it's the same bunch. They're both wearing green uniforms, and they both block and tackle exceptionally well. They do nothing fancy except just play solid football, and really looking forward to see how that comes out tonight.
Alleman leading 21-14 in the second quarter. Surprised it's that scoring of the game.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I thought that would be about 14-13 total, maybe.
All right, Lions call timeout to now go for two, leading by five, and try to get it back up to a seven-point lead. Baird rolling out to the far side, looking. Now he's going to keep it, tries to cut upfield to the goal line. And he comes up short.
Matt Kitch drilled him, just sent him sideways just before he got to the goal line.
Well, don't forget, this Peoria drive started back at their own 3-yard line. So a heck of a drive they put together. 10 plays, 97 yards, and they take 4 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock. But big for the Silver Streaks to stop the run. So the lead is 5, 12-7 in favor of the Lions. And the Silver Streaks will have it back with 53.5 seconds to go in this first half.
Well, not likely you'll score again here before the half, but they do have to kick into the wind. And if you can get some sort of a return, get it into their territory, as we found out last week, who knows?
Right.
Score very quickly.
Silver Streaks had the nice return from Ben Holloway against Morton late in the fourth quarter. Returned the ball to midfield. And then on the very next play, Jonathan Mixon ran it in from that far out. And just like that, the Silver Streaks, after falling behind in the fourth quarter for the first time since the first quarter, were back on top and ended up winning the game by 3.
I would doubt we'll see this ball in the air very much.
No.
I would think this would just be a squib. If you do kick it in the air, it's going to meet that stiff breeze and not go very far, and it doesn't look like their kicker's got that strong of a leg to begin with.
Their kicker is Christian Miles, who's standing about 2 yards away from the ball, and he's looking as if he's going to, kick it right toward the sideline. Silver Streaks come up for it and then juggle it and drop it, fumbling it away at the 35-yard line, and somehow Galesburg gets it back.
A real good tactic on the kick. He did kick it in the air, but just a high end-over-end kick near the sideline. It allowed his teammates to get down there in coverage quickly. And being such a short kick, they were right on him. And then, of course, the drop ball ended any chance we had for a return. So if we're going to get ahead before the half with 50 seconds to go, to come up with something to gain some big yardage here pretty quickly.
Silver Streaks haven't been able to get that big running play, quick scoring ability like they've shown in the first two games, although they did have the pass play earlier. But they haven't had the big running play in the game so far. Mixon feeling his way across right tackle, and there's just not much there. Somehow he's still on his feet, and finally he comes down across the 40 at the 41-yard line. Somewhere inside the middle of that stack of players, Mixon kept the legs moving, and he gains 5 out of it.
Yeah, that's where working with the weights makes a big difference, because you have to have strong legs to move that pile of kids that far. And the Streaks call the timeout now with 37 seconds to go before half.
Now, just to tell you what a great job the Lions have done against Jonathan Mixon tonight. Jonathan came in with 49 carries on the season and 547 yards rushing, averaging better than 11 yards a carry after the first two games. Tonight, he has 11 carries for just 31 yards. And he's going to see a lot of awfully tough defenses aiming directly at him for the remaining 6.5 games of the season. And the Lions have done a terrific job on him through the first nearly two quarters of this game. Just under 38 seconds to go. Silver Streaks calling their second timeout, trailing 12-7 with the ball spotted at their own 41. Brian Allen lines up tight end left. Diggins right behind him. Isaacson comes set under center. Holloway in motion. Handoff goes to Mixon. Still keeping the legs pumping across the 40 up to the 43-yard line. A gain of a couple more. And that brings up third down with 26 seconds to go. Clock running. Streaks not showing any indication of calling a timeout here.
Kind of a crossbuck play that time. You fake to a guy going one way and Mixon's at an angle coming the other direction. Against a team that isn't very alert defensively, that can yield some big yardage, but the Lions we're more than ready for Mixon to get that on the second handoff, and that's going to do it.
Yep, Silver Streaks are not going to attempt a third down play, so the first half has come to an end with Galesburg trailing Peoria at the Silver Streaks home opener 12-7. Again, when we come back here on the halftime show, we will hear from former Silver Streaks George Carter, Jim Lee's interview with him about his boxing career. Also try to get you some scoring updates from high school football around the area. Also tell you what's happening with the Cardinal game, which has been in a rain delay for a while, and first half stats. All still to come as the halftime show gets underway here on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Are you kidding? No tax this weekend?
No kidding. It's tax-free weekend at Farm King. 3 days only, Friday through Sunday. So get what you need now, like a Milwaukee M12 grease gun kit for $179.99, and we pay the tax. Now's the time to get that earthquake cultivator. Also, $179.99, and the tax is on Farm King. So get that log cabin doghouse for $99.99, and that Black & Decker pressure washer, $169.99, and get the 12-gallon shop vac and the Honeywell generator, too. You'll save and save again when we pay the tax this weekend at Farm King.
Figs is Galesburg's premier Italian steak and seafood house, featuring Chef Tony's authentic Italian dishes and desserts made in-house daily. The early bird special from 5 to 7 on Tuesdays features a half Italian baked chicken with super salad and choice of potato. And Wednesdays, it's create your own pasta night, both for $12.95. Follow up with creme brulee and a puff pastry or a classic tiramisu. Open at 5 Tuesday through Saturday and available for special events Sunday and Monday. Reservations preferred. Make yours at 341-3463. Figs Italian Steakhouse, above the cellar at 51 North Prairie.
The official WGIL forecast, partly cloudy and cooler with a chance of showers this evening, low around 50. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 72. Tomorrow night, clear with an overnight low of 48. Sunday, sunny with a high of 75. Sunday night, clear with a low of 52. Monday, sunny with a high of 78. Monday night, clear with an overnight low of 58. And Tuesday, sunny with a high of 82. Tuesday night, clear with a low of 58. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 63 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Welcome to the Silver Streaks Halftime as we take a few minutes now to talk to a former Galesburg High School athlete who is now out in the professional boxing world and a former Silver Streak football player. Nonetheless, George Carter joins us. And George, great to have you with us here to talk a little bit about, the Silver Streaks and boxing, and I know you've got a big weekend ahead here. You've got another one of your fights. Tell us a little bit about that.
Saturday I'll be boxing in Davenport, Iowa. It'll be my third scheduled six-round fight. Last one I was main event. This one I'm co-main event. And even though I'm not main event, I'm still looking to put on a good show.
I think the last time you boxed early summer, Carlos Duncan was telling me that you had a pretty tough opponent, one of your toughest so far. Is that right?
Yes, that was actually my last one. He was a late call-up, and actually we thought it was going to be a little easier than we expected. He came in there ready to fight and give it all he had, and he definitely made me fight, made me go the distance, and made me, you know, dig down deep and really, you know, put on a show.
Yeah, and in fact, Carlos thought that was a good thing for you because you had a few fights where you got it over with pretty quickly, and he said this fella was kind of a veteran, and he could he gave you a tough go, and he thought that probably strengthened you in the long run.
Yes, he had 15 fights, if I'm not mistaken, and he's been the distance majority of them with top elite fighters. Matter of fact, DeAndre Lattimore, he's like 23-2 right now. He went the distance with him. So that just goes to show you that he's there to fight, and he's not there to, you know, lay over and just get a L. He wants to really win. So, but, you know, we came to prepared, and we came out victorious.
Let's go back a few years when you were at Galesburg High School. You were a running back and defensive back for the Silver Streaks football team. Obviously, you can't, unless you're exceptional at that, you can't make a career out of playing football. You chose to go into boxing. How did you get started in boxing, George?
Chris Scholl, he works at G&M Distributors, was one of the first people that introduced me to boxing. And it's weird because my dad was supposed to take me, and somehow we got the wrong day mixed up, and we went down there, and it was the wrong day. It was the day before, and we went the day after. And so, you know, Chris showed me the way, and ever since then, it's, you know, it's taken off. Which I was about 15, 16 years ago, but here I am now.
Sure. It takes, you don't just jump in the boxing ring and start swinging and become a good boxer. It takes a long time to work your craft, doesn't it?
Yeah, it takes a little bit. And actually, my dad was a boxer as well, so it was in the genes, so it wasn't as hard for me to take up.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your training. You said, in fact, you train across the street from our studios here in downtown Galesburg. How often do you train, and give us a little idea of what a typical workout is for you?
Of course, you know, starting, you know, like for a fight like this, I start about 7 weeks ago. You know, the first week is always easing back into it, and then last week is always the easiest because you're, you know, coming down off of it. But normally, you know, I train five days a week, get up there, and probably last about 2 hours, you know, do different things, bags and mitts and all, you know, the stuff that normal boxers do. Run 4 to 6 days a week, which is different, you know, miles. We do intervals on my off days. I actually up to 8 miles a day now. Of doing regular distance, and then the intervals we'll cut down to 3 to 4 miles, you know, because there's part of the fights where you got to do quick bursts, like 5, 6, 7 punches, and them intervals help you with that. And the long distance is for a long term of a fight, like a 6, 8, 10 rounder, and that's where you get to, that's taking them from.
Mm-hmm. Who sets up your workout? Do you do it by yourself sometimes, or do you always have a trainer? How does that work, George?
Carlos is the eyes and ears outside of the ring. He, you know, anything he sees wrong, he tries to help me correct. And Ernest Curry is actually the trainer. He actually helps me train. And then we got a good friend of mine named Randy from, he's down, he's from out of town, which he comes in and takes care of my hands, which did like this fight, he wrapped my hands, and he's the one that takes care of them. So if anything happened, I could blame it on Randy about my hands. But normally he's pretty good, very good at wrapping my hands. But like I said, Ernest is the trainer, so he sits there and helps me. And Carlos basically tells me what I'm doing right or doing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like so many things, there are so many things that go into boxing that people probably have no idea about. Just you're talking about wrapping your hands. And that's pretty important because you don't want to obviously hurt your hand or a finger or something, because mm-hmm. when you're throwing punches, you, even with the gloves on, you can do that, right?
Right. Matter of fact, you know, most of the time at practice, I throw anywhere from, let's say, 25 to 7,000 punches.
Wow.
And then you get in a fight, which is maybe 200 to 400 punches. So, I mean, there's a difference, but you're also having a smaller glove, because when I train with 18, 20-ounce gloves. When I'm in the boxing ring, it's 10 ounce. You know, there's no headgears. There's a little bit of padding on the gloves, but it's nothing like hitting a bag or a punching shield, because you're hitting a person and hitting the top of their head or whatever. So, I mean, it takes a toll on your hands, because every time you can hit them, sometimes you, that really hurts. But, you know, Randy's the one that takes care of my hands, and since he's been doing it, I haven't had no trouble.
It's halftime of Silver Streaks football. We're talking with George Carter Jr., a former Silver Streak who's now a professional boxer and is getting ready for another fight coming up on Saturday. You know, for a lot of us, our biggest exposure to boxing is maybe watching Rocky Balboa, and, you know, he's downing raw eggs at 4 a.m. and chasing chickens around. I don't suppose that's part of your repertoire, is it?
Nah, I don't know. I could do something like that. Matter of fact, I tried raw eggs once, and I think I'll pass on them. I'll stick to the vegetables and fruits and stuff. But, you know, I mean, every person got to have a time where they could just, you know, eat whatever they want. Most of the time during training, I eat real healthy. But there's days out, okay, well, I want this, I want that. And I'm gonna eat it. I want my ice cream or Gray's sandwich shop, which I love Gray's, and I go there all the time. But, you know, as training, you know, progress, I cut down on more things, but I still love, I mean, I'm a pop drinker too, so mm-hmm. I still love that. But, you know, it's a time that you have to cut down, and it's best for your body and keeping that stamina up.
Yeah. And, George, you know, they talk about the eye of the tiger, and you seem just very friendly and very laid back. You don't seem like the type of guy that's going to go in the ring and do boxing. But you have that ability. I guess you shift gears, don't you, when you get into the competition like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm calm, collected. Like you said, I'm a pretty, you know, outgoing, friendly person. And I'm all the way cool up until, you know, maybe a week up to the fight. Then my mood changes. Friends, family, they see it. You know, you can ask me any little question, and I change. I mean, with the attitude, I don't try to, but it's just a mindset. Once you're in, you know, you get in that mindset, it goes like that. But I'm really cool, really, up until the day of the fight, which, you know, then I get in my mood set, you know, listen to my music and stuff. But normally I'm just laid back and, you know, I joke around and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And you can't spend all day, every day training. You've got to make money out there working a real job. You're G&M, right?
Yes, I'm working at G&M, you know, 6 days a week. Of course, you know, I'm like everybody else, don't like it, but you have to do it until I progress, hopefully get a contract in my boxing, mm-hmm. and then maybe we can cut back on the working part. But for right now, I'm out there, and, you know, I enjoy the people, and, you know, friendly. It's real cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, just about a minute left here, George. Let's again let people know tomorrow night, right?
Friday is, you know, the weigh-ins. Which hopefully we make the 160, but now I'll make the 160. But and then Saturday is fight time, you know, mm-hmm. six rounds, co-main event, and a lot of people gonna be there, and hopefully I get a knockout. We're gonna go for a few rounds, but we're gonna try to get him out of here this time. I don't feel like going six rounds, so we're gonna try to get him out of there. But it starts at doors open 6:30, and it starts at 7:30.
Okay, this is in Davenport. And what's the location, George?
It's called Danceland Ballroom.
Okay,
it's right across the street from the courthouse. I really don't have the address on hand right now, but it's not too. It's right on the riverside, okay. So it's pretty easy to find.
Okay, and you usually have a good core group follows you around for your fights then.
Family, friends, of course, my trainers and, you know, guys that work with me normally. But I'm a person that I don't like too many people to be around me that day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I normally get a hotel room up there and chill out, watch TV. And Saturday I'll be watching a lot of college football and stuff like that. So, I mean, it gets me, you know, out the mood, but we'll get back in there.
Sure, be ready to hit. So, all right, well, I know you're looking forward to seeing a couple of Silver Streaks home games when you get time, too, so maybe we'll see you at Van Dyke Field a little bit later this season then.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, good luck, George. Thanks for stopping in, and we'll keep touch with you down the road here.
All right, thanks.
All right, George Carter Jr., former Galesburg Silver Streak, now professional boxer with another bout tomorrow night up in the Quad Cities. We'll take this time out, come back, look at the halftime stats, maybe work in a conversation with Tim Doherty at halftime here as the Streaks play Peoria Central Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
The city of Galesburg was informed late this afternoon the construction for the Kohl's department store has once again been delayed. In a press release from Mayor Sal Garza's office, he said Kohl's shared with him they have reduced the number of annual store openings in 2013, and it was not the right time to open the Galesburg store. Director of Development for Horn Properties, Michael Patterson, says the decision made by Kohl's does not appear to be a direct reflection of the Galesburg market. Patterson says he believes it has to do more with the volatility and uncertainty with the U.S. economy. A student says the boy who fired shots in a classroom at Normal Community High School today complained that no one would listen to him about his problems. The student says a teacher tackled the boy when he put the gun down. No one was hurt, and police have a 14-year-old in custody. Some of the jurors in the Drew Peterson case say they were split early in their deliberations over whether Peterson murdered his third wife, Kathleen Savio, but they say deliberations were never heated. I'm Will Stephenson. Top stories at home. Top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. The presidential rivals back on the campaign trail. GOP nominee Mitt Romney focusing on today's weak jobs report before a New Hampshire crowd.
I laid out a plan that's going to get America working again and make sure we remain the hope of the earth.
But President Obama at the University of Iowa says if you look at the big picture.
After losing 800,000 jobs a month when I took office, Business has added jobs for the 30th month in a row. We've added more than 4.6 million jobs.
A fewer than expected 96,000 jobs created last month. A warning for recent visitors to Yosemite Park about a rodent-borne virus.
It's called hantavirus, and it feels like the flu, but also brings about breathing problems. There have been only 8 cases, but 3 people have died so far.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown, 22,000 people have visited Yosemite over the summer. Experts say early detection will stop further complications. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan, right in front of Sandburg Mall.
WGIL congratulates this week's virtual duck hunt winner, Virgie Shimon of Galesburg, who knew the virtual duck was at the ATM machine at Wells Fargo Bank. Congratulations from the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation and WGIL.
Halftime at Van Dyke Field with the Silver Streaks trail. Peoria Lions 12-7, home opener for Galesburg High School. Lions scored first in this game. In fact, scored on their opening drive. Galesburg had the ball first, but could not get even a first down on their opening drive. 3 plays and a punt, and then the Lions came back on their opening drive and put together a 6-play scoring drive that covered 65 yards, took just 2 minutes and 38 seconds off the clock, and capped it off with a 9-yard touchdown pass from Baird, the quarterback Eric Baird, to Bartez Cox. Missed the extra point, though. It was 6-0, and that's where we stayed until the second quarter when the Silver Streaks took over at the 50-yard line after a terrific defensive stand at the 16-yard line, forced a punt away, got it at the 50-yard line, and tell you more about that. Let's go down to midfield. Jim Lee is with assistant coach Jay Barshinger.
All right. Well, Jay, this game has been what we thought it might be, a pretty even matchup.
Yeah, obviously two good teams going at it and kind of been back and forth a little bit. And it's been a good game.
What do you do to slow down the big kid out in pass formation? He's a load.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do a better job of defending and making some tackles and put a few exchanges in there. And, you know, we just got to keep playing.
They've taken away, to some degree, our inside running game. You're having to use the pass and go wide a little bit more. Do we expect to see more of that in the second half?
Well, you would think so. I mean, John's obviously done a great runner. He's done some good things, and they've seen that the first 2 games. So, you know, we've got to use everybody.
All right, just don't make mistakes and get a win here.
Keep playing hard.
Thanks, Shay.
As always, our thanks to the Streaks coaching staff, and we can work it in. Finally got everything running smoothly with this halftime so we could actually get the halftime interview in there. But to finish off how the Streaks scoring drive took place, just under 9 minutes to go in the first half. Streaks took over at the 50-yard line. Diggins had a little 5-yard run, and then Isaacson threw a little sideline route to Jonathan Mixon, who did the rest on his own. A 45-yard receive and run, and ended in the Streaks' first touchdown of the night and their first passing touchdown of the season. Tanner Laird's extra point made it 7-6. Streaks were on top. 5:03 to go in the second quarter. The Lions took over from their own 3-yard line, then proceeded to put together a 10-play, 97-yard scoring drive. It wrapped up with an Eric Baird pass to Marcus McConnell for 35 yards down the far sideline, the home sideline. And they went for 2, did not get it. And that's where we stand as we're ready to kick off the third quarter. 12-7 in favor of the Lions, who will have the ball, barring any kind of mistake here, to begin the second quarter. Sykes' kick goes into the end zone where the Lions will have to down it. And we are underway in the second quarter. Peoria will have it at their own 20. Halftime, it's Alleman over Richwoods, 21-14. We have some scouts from Moline who are in the booth with us. They tell us that Crete Moni leads the Maroons 7-2 at the end of quarter number one. Pure Notre Dame leads United Township 10-0. And, well, Jim, what did I tell you that United score was? Mercer County shutting out United.
27-0,
I think. 27-0, that's right.
You know, I threw the kind of heavy hooded coat in the back seat tonight. I was thinking, I won't need this, but I'm going to take it anyway. I'm wearing it. After that hot summer, it feels kind of cool down here. It really feels nice. I think everybody enjoying this more fall-like feel.
Open set, pass to the far side of the field. It is caught on the sideline route to Harrison Hale, who catches it in the flat, but Streaks take him down fairly quickly. He'll pick up three on first down, and it'll be second and seven. Baird, 9 for 12 in the first half passing, 121 yards and a couple of touchdowns. His leading receiver was McConnell, who had the touchdown pass and 51 yards through the air. Josh Augusta had three catches for 41 yards. Martez Cox had the other touchdown reception, three catches overall for 21 yards. Second and seven. After Hale's first reception of the night, again, empty backfield for Baird. Sets Hale in motion. Fakes the handoff. Baird's going to keep it. Now trying to bounce to the outside. Gets a lead block from Hale. That springs Baird enough for the first down across the 35-yard line at the 36.
Baird with a nice read that time. You know, and then the first half, I wondered why he wasn't trying that a little more. He seemed to be content with just staying inside the tackles with his runs. He eyed that, but then just made the quick cut outside, and that's where he becomes dangerous. He's got good speed and is able to get the first down and more for the Central Lions, which, again, they're Peoria High. I told Coach Thornton, I said, I can't quit calling them Central. He said, that's all right. Nobody around here can do it either. So old habits die hard.
That's right. Goes to the gain of 13 for Baird. Now is joined by Hale in the backfield. Sets a block that allows, and it's deflected on the pass and picked off by Trevon Diggins at the 45-yard line. There's a scramble for it at the end of the play, and the Streaks hang on to it.
Wow, what a play, because what happened there is for the first time, the big kid, it went off his fingertips. Trevon was there, and you're thinking, oh, if he can gather that and head the other way, that could be six. But Augusta is such a good athlete. He reached in there on Trevon and stripped the ball back away from him. The ball was on the ground, and fortunately somebody else, I didn't catch who, for the Streaks got in there and got it. But what a terrific play by Augusta. You know, I mean, you don't expect a big kid to be that heady and that athletic, and he nearly got that ball back.
So the Streaks take over in Lions territory at the 44, and a flag flies on the Streaks' first play from line of scrimmage in the second half. And we're going to have illegal. Nope, they're going to mark it off offsides against the Lions. It's been a very well-played game in terms of very few penalties in this one. And the ones we've seen have been fairly minor. We did see the clip by the Lions as they took a punt from the Silver Streaks. And Streaks kicked one out of the out of bounds on the sidelines. But other than that, very few penalties.
Josh Augusta, the big guy for Peoria, a little shaky going off the field after that play. I assume we'll see him back, but he didn't look right.
Hand off up the middle. Jonathan Mixon breaks free inside the 20, the 10, touchdown! There's the big play scoring ability that we've talked about, and the Streaks after an offsides penalty. Jonathan Mixon, a 39-yard touchdown run. The Streaks are back on top.
Now, Mixon's showing us some of that lightning we've seen through the first 2 weeks, especially over at Morton last week. You contain him, and you think, well, we're going to do a pretty good job on him tonight, and then all of a sudden he finds a hole and he's off.
Jonathan Mixon, 12 carries for 33 yards rushing in the first half. He gets 39 yards on the touchdown. The extra point is perfect, and Galesburg's on top 14-12. We are just underway in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan?
Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, Letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Bree Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything is sports.
WGIL congratulates this week's virtual duck hunt winner, Virgie Shimon of Galesburg. Who knew the virtual duck was at the ATM machine at Wells Fargo Bank? Congratulations from the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation and WGIL.
Well, Jim Lee, you said with the Lions taking the opening kickoff to begin the second half, the Streaks could hold them defensively, keep them from going up 18-7 or 19 or 20-7, that you liked our chances. How about the second turnover of the night by the Lions, and one play later, a Jonathan Mixon touchdown run, his seventh of the season. The Streaks are on top 14-12 as Sykes booms another kickoff into the end zone.
And the improvement on this team over last year is just phenomenal. I mean, you know, we may not win this game yet tonight because Peoria is very good, but the way we get out there and don't give up defensively, the tackling is so much better. The kicking game has improved. I mean, we talked about Sykes punting those kickoffs. He just kicked that one out of the end zone. Granted, he's got a little breeze, but, you know, between he and then Laird kicking those extra points, you can tell we spent time this week on conversions. We're just improved in a lot of areas.
We've played just over a minute of the second half. The Lions have turned it over, and the Streaks have scored in that short amount of time. A Jonathan Mixon 39-yard touchdown run. The Streaks ran one play and took 10 seconds off the clock, and that's all it took to take the lead and make a winner of Kathleen Varner of Galesburg in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest. The Streaks, you know, they need to put together a scoring drive so we can at least say who's our candidate in the touchdown contest before we're even giving away the $10 gift certificate.
It's just one of those oh-by-the-way things right now. The difference in this game, conversions, and this time we're on the high side of it. Last week missing four, we've converted both tonight, lead by two.
Offset eye, handoff goes to the tailback. This time it's Harrison Hale trying to get to the outside. Now he breaks free of a tackle, still on his feet, finally run out of bounds just across the 30-yard line, very close to a first down. Heck of a run by Harrison Hale.
And we saw Hale doing some big things on the defensive side of the ball in the first half, too. He's a nice ball player.
Now the ball is just across the 30-yard line, and finally the officials get the attention of the chain gang. The drive started at the 20. If it's across the 30, that's got to be a first down. So they finally get him to move the chains. A 14-12 Galesburg, 9.5 minutes to go, third quarter. We're just underway in the second half. Two in the backfield now with Baird. He goes to the handoff again. Hale again out of the tailback spot, tripped up, falls forward to the 35-yard line. Again, a nice little run, aided by some leading blockers for Hale. He'll pick up about five again on first down.
Funny, I saw Steve Hawkins coming up the stairs to the press box, and he said, I'm sorry you're not closer to me so you don't have some good comments like you did last week. Steve was pretty vocal over there at Morton last week on a few of the calls or non-calls as they were. And so we'll let him address that from the press box now, and I'll talk to him a little bit later.
Call it a gain of six on first down. Second and four from the 36-yard line. Single setback. Leading blocker for Baird, who quickly gets it away to the sideline to Martez Cox. It's caught at the 41-yard line, and that's enough for another first down.
I suppose I just put the kiss of death on the officials here, but last week we had a lot of questionable calls, things that could have gone either way, and unhappy folks about some of the officiating. Tonight, I'm not sure anybody's questioned anything. They've done a real nice job so far in this game.
Well, and again, as we mentioned after the offsides penalty on Galesburg's first offensive possession, there just haven't been many penalties tonight. Baird still in the short gun with the direct snap, rolling left, now spins, works his way to the right, under pressure, gets the pass away, nearly Woo! Picked off by Matt Kitch, who is open at the 50-yard line and could have run with it for a bit. But it's incomplete, a big break for the Lions.
Yeah, the Kitch was the closest one there, and you had the feeling if he buckled that thing in, he could have headed the other way and gone a long ways. Now, Kitch not the fleetest of foot. One of those Lions probably would have caught him, but that would have been something else if he'd have picked that ball off.
Already 2-for-4 passing in the second half for quarterback Eric Baird, which includes the big interception The Silver Streaks turned into a touchdown two plays later. Still 8:36 to go in the third quarter. A lifetime to play in this game with Galesburg leading by two. There's Hale in motion. Baird on the misdirection back to the near side. Complete to Cox, and he's dragged down from behind in Galesburg territory at the Silver Streaks 45-yard line. It was Andrew Barnes who tackled him. There was good leading blockers again for the Lions, who allowed Cox to get into first down territory in Galesburg territory at the 45.
Now, for the third straight week, we are involved in a real good high school football game. Very enjoyable to watch. Both teams pretty evenly matched here. And both teams always just one little hole away from having a long touchdown. So, as you said, a long way to go.
40 yards receiving tonight from Artez Cox. First down from the Galesburg 45-yard line. In motion, McConnell. He'll take the handoff, trying to get to the right side. Now
there
trying to get to the outside, and he's contained. Wrapped up, Michael Moss, the initial tackle, held him up, and the Streaks finished him off for a gain of maybe a yard.
Yeah, Michael Moss doing a great job, staying where he should. Was the first one there, was not going to let him turn the corner and get outside. Then he got the support from the linebacking core, including Jacob Ryden over there, to polish off the play.
Third quarter, John Tracy has his third touchdown run of the night for Alleman, and they now lead Richwoods 28-14. They are also underway in the second half. Second and nine for the Lions here at the Galesburg 44. Under 7:20 to play in the third quarter. Streaks lead by two. Two wideouts to the near side. Single setback lining up behind Baird, who drops back after the snap. Throws it across left side. Augusta with the completion inside the 35-yard line to the 33. Perfectly thrown ball, throwing it up high to the 6'5 tight end slash receiver, and the Lions move the chains again.
Well, and if the Silver Streaks were surprised on that one, I sure wasn't. As soon as he drifted off the line of scrimmage, I would have thought we would have had somebody try and run a little interference there, but he was wide open, and if you're the quarterback, he's pretty easy to spot. Wearing a white uniform and 6'5 and 300 and some odd pounds. And sure hands, and they move the chains again.
Very efficient drive for the Lions. This is the ninth play of the drive. They have not faced third down yet. There's a new set of downs at the Silver Streaks 33. Approaching the midpoint of the third quarter. Baird with a keeper, trying to get left, trying to get to the outside. Stays away from a tackle in the backfield. Sprints forward inside the 30-yard line. Manny Valdez had a shot at him. He dove, and Baird stepped away from it, and he's able to move the ball down to the 28-yard line for a pickup of five.
That was a pretty slick move by Baird. I thought he was only going to get about a yard out of that, but able to get up there. Matt Hawkins finally making the tackle for the Silver Streaks. You're right, Brad. Peoria, as you mentioned, hadn't had much time position in that first half until the final drive. Putting together another long one here in the third quarter.
Second and five for the Lions. Now inside the Galesburg 30 down to the 28-yard line. 14-12, the Silver Streaks lead, but the Lions are driving. This possession started back at their own 20. They're approaching the Galesburg 20. Big hole up the middle for McConnell. He's finally hit in the secondary and dragged down, but not until he gets inside the 10-yard line. Matt Kitch originally got him from behind, and McConnell just kept going. Dragging Kitch, a couple of other Silver Streaks jumped on board, and he just kept on dragging him down to the 8.
Well, and they were trying to strip the ball away there, but Harrison Hale just too strong holding on to it, and I think that probably hurt our tackling a little bit at the end of the play. Guys trying to strip it away from Hale, but he wouldn't give it up, and we finally haul him down, but not until it's first and goal, Peoria.
63 yards rushing tonight for McConnell on just 5 carries. 5.5 minutes to go, third quarter. Lions down by two now with first and goal. The direct snap to Baird. Hands off right up the middle. And a lot of running room and then tripped up. Kenville Carter gets down close, and they do call him in for the end zone and the touchdown. He got dragged right close to the end zone. And it almost looked like he got stood straight up. But he manages to fall forward and polish off those final couple of feet for the touchdown.
Well, we saw something there we haven't seen much early in the season. That's an opponent being able to take it right up the middle on us a couple of consecutive plays for some big yardage, and Peoria earned the lead back now at 18-14, and looks like they'll line it up for two here again.
An 11-play scoring drive, 5:18 to go here in the third quarter. Lions have not converted an extra point yet tonight. They missed a kick. They failed on a run earlier. Now Barrett, under pressure, throws it across the middle. There's nobody there, and he just had to get rid of that one. And he still took a pretty big hit at the end of it by Matt Hawkins.
Yeah, Hawkins, great job there because they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They lined up the big kid at tight end, and he was open just across the goal line. If the quarterback can get the time to throw it, that's a conversion. But Hawkins wouldn't let him get it in the air.
Take a timeout. 5:18 to go, third quarter. Lions now back on top, 18-14. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Get great deals and everything to update your home now during the Menard Day Sale. Add a natural look to any room with Shaw Laminate Flooring. Right now, all laminate flooring is on sale. Nature's Expression from Shaw has an embossed wood grain texture and a 40-year warranty. On sale for just $179 per square foot. Or choose from other styles also at great savings. Save big on laminate flooring, all on sale at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Take charge of your wallet and your future with advice from Clark Howard. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
An 11-play scoring drive for the Lions of Peoria High School. The kickoff spinning to the home side of the field. It's taken on the run by Trevon Dickens, who sprints up and then spun down, or rather that's Mixon, just across the 45 to the 47-yard line. And the Streaks did a nice job of hiding him over there, knowing that that's probably where the kick was coming, and they wanted to give him a chance to run.
Yeah, you noticed that, huh? You know, and really, that I was kind of hoping he was going to let it go out of bounds, because then they would have had good field position. But it was in that territory where if you're mixing, you're not sure that it's going to go out of bounds, so you really can't, you know, you don't want to go talk to your coach if you let that thing die on the sideline and the other team recovers it. So Jonathan just took it and picked up about 10 yards.
Lions with an 11-play scoring drive, covered 80 yards. Here's a little run up the middle. Nice pickup on first down for the Silver Streaks as Diggins dives forward to the 49-yard line for a gain of 3. They took 5 minutes and 33 seconds off the clock, and Quell Carter with a 8-yard touchdown run. But the pass fails, and the Streaks now down by 4, 18-14. Clock rolling under 5 minutes to play third quarter.
Something that has not happened yet is getting Trevon Dickens open in the open field. We want to see that happen at least once because he'll make a big play for us.
5 carries tonight, only 9 yards on the ground for Dickens. Here's a handoff to the left side. Big run by Jonathan Mixon, carrying the defenders down to the 30-yard line.
It's kind of strong.
Pickup of 21 for Jonathan Mixon, who had 33 yards rushing at halftime on 12 carries. He's run it twice in the second half, and he's already gained 60 yards.
These are not the sisters of the poor trying to tackle him either. These are some strong, athletic kids for Peoria. There were two or three hanging on him that time, and Mixon just would not go down.
We have a timeout on the field with 4:33 to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks trail 18-14 on their home opener here at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Never miss the action.
Shoulder shrug left, looks to the right, to the end zone, fighting for the ball, making the grab. Dane Sanzenbacher, touchdown, touchdown Bears.
The Bears take on rookie Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts to open the season.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30, Sunday morning on the Lazy.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM. The Laser.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
It's been a fun night for the home opener at Van Dyke Field for Galesburg High School. They trail by 4, but what a game so far. Galesburg on the move at the Lions 30-yard line. And we still have 4 minutes 33 seconds to go in the third quarter. Quick snap after the timeout. Hand off to Dickens, and he gets mugged at the line of scrimmage. And then Augusta pushes him 5 yards back and body slams him to the turf.
Yeah, don't tell Trevon that Augusta's a gentle giant, because he did. He just pounded Dickens to the turf that time. I'm glad Trevon able to bounce up from that, because that was punishing.
Well, after Trevon got the interception and then Augusta knocked it out of his hands earlier and the Streaks still recovered, it's been turning into quite a little one-on-one battle between those two. Second and 11, and the Streaks are jumping at the line of scrimmage. And that's going to be a five-yard penalty against Galesburg, their first of that nature. We've seen that a lot in the first couple of games this season, but that's just the first time tonight they got called for jumping too quickly.
Yeah, it's the left side of the line. I'm not sure it wasn't both players on that left side went off a little too early on the snap count. So now we're at second and 15.
Call it second and 16. Back at the 36-yard line now. Under 4 minutes to go, third quarter. Let's hope this doesn't kill the Galesburg drive here.
Will Anderson in. We haven't really utilized him yet, our former quarterback, in pass play. He's a good athlete.
Handoff goes to Diggins, trying to get to the outside. Gets a lead blocker, but then four defenders right on top of him, and they run him out of bounds at the 30-yard line. Only Ben Holloway there to try to fend off four white jerseys, and he couldn't do it. Diggins does a nice job to get anything out of that he could back up to the 32, so he picks up four, but still third and 12 now for Galesburg.
Got Will Anderson listed at 6'1". Isn't that a little short? I was thinking Will was more 6'3 neighborhood basketball last year.
Yeah, I was going to say 6'3". Cardinals still in a rain delay at home against Milwaukee. Haven't seen yet that they've called the game, but they've been in a delay for over 2 hours now. On third and 12, short drop by Isaacson, and the pass is high through the hands of Ben Holloway at about the 25-yard line, and that was 5 yards short of the first down marker anyway. Silver Streaks were just trying to give them a better chance of converting on fourth down. So they're now facing 4th and 12 at the Lions' 32.
Well, you probably go for it here because with the wind at your back, if you try and pooch punt it, that's going to be pretty tough and not have it go into the end zone. It's not worth giving up the ball to gain 10 or 12 yards, so we're going to go ahead and go for it here on 4th.
Isaacson's first pass attempt of the second half. He's 3 for 5 for the game for 63 yards and a touchdown. And now timeout called by Galesburg. With 3:30 to go in the third quarter. Let's see if we can find a couple of other scores going on around the area. Told you about the United game here a while ago. They were behind to Mercer County, 27-0 in the fourth quarter. Alleman now leads Richwood's 35-20.
Wow.
They put up two more touchdowns in the third quarter.
That's amazing. I really thought Richwoods would probably win a low-scoring game in that one after they lost to Washington last week. Alleman, I know, is good, but the first two opponents they've had have been pretty awful, so I really didn't know what kind of a read to get on the Pioneers, and I think our read now is awfully good if they can score 35 on Richwoods.
John Tracy has accounted for all the scoring for Alleman.
All
of it. He's got three touchdown runs and two passes for touchdowns, a 77-yarder to Adam Hoogerwerf and now a 25-yarder to Hoogerwerf. So between the two of them, they've accounted for all 35 points.
Air Pioneers, who thought we'd ever say that?
Unbelievable. Notre Dame leads United Township 19-0. Morris over Geneseo 21-0. All right, coming out of the Galesburg timeout. On 4th and 12. Hand off to the right side. There's a hole there, but it's going to be an awful long way to get to the first down, and Jonathan Mixon ends up going backwards after the initial hit.
That's one of those you go, we had to timeout for that. But obviously the play was designed to do more than it ended up doing. Peoria sniffed that out and just jammed it up right off the get-go. And so Lions get the ball back. They're up four, and they have the hammer right now, but still just third quarter.
Spot it in Lions territory, just short of the 30-yard line. So Mixon had two big runs on his only two possessions, on his only two carries in the second half. He needed a much bigger one than just the three he gained there. The Lions take over, 3:17 to go here in the third quarter with an 18-14 lead over the Silver Streaks. At their own 29-yard line after they marched it downfield, 80 yards on 11 plays on their last possession. An empty backfield for Baird with three wideouts right, two to the left, and McConnell in motion now. He'll take the handoff trying to get to the outside. Still running laterally, crosses the line of scrimmage, moves his way forward to the 35, and then stopped there after a gain of, call it five. Looks like they're going to take him out right at the 35.
Yeah, again, Michael Moss, he really does a nice job over here on this corner. Strings the play out, fought off a block, able to get the tackle. And as he strings that out, then he allows some speed to come up from help side as well, as you had Trevon Diggins over there as well. If Moss hadn't got him, Diggins or Mixon probably would have. So even though it was a five-yard gain, you still like the way the Streaks defended that.
Moses McConnell with six carries, 69 yards tonight. 2.5 minutes to go, third quarter. Lions with the ball in a four-point lead. Direct snap to Baird. Man coming back for it is McConnell, trying to avoid tackle.
Big
bounces
hit.
Off a big hit right at the 35-yard line. A big hit from O'Brien Allen. That stood. He didn't go down. He stayed up, but that allowed the rest of the Silver Streaks to come in and take him down right at the 36.
Many times you'll see a big hit in that when you see a guy catch the ball and then try and move back against the grain laterally, and that's exactly what happened because you run into somebody that's coming across the field the other way with a head of steam, and O'Brien Allen had that and really stuck him strong right there. So third and five here now.
Sure is. The Lions 1-for-5 on third downs tonight. They did not face third down at all on that 11-play scoring drive earlier this quarter, leading by 4. Baird stands his ground, throws it across the middle to Augusta, who's complete up to the 49-yard line. You throw it high, and he just, what terrific hands he has, just right into the fingertips, and it's a gain of 12 and a big third down conversion for Peoria.
Well, and defensively, we're not doing anything to stop that. I mean, I would have bet $100 that that's exactly what they were going to do. I mean, they've done it all night, and it didn't seem like we had a clue that that was coming, and you've got to get somebody out there in front of him, knock that ball up in the air, and we just really weren't ready for that at all.
Timeout called by the Lions. 1:29 to go in the third quarter as they face first down at their own 48. When we come back, Lions lead Galesburg 18-14. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Never miss the action.
Shoulder shrug left, looks to the right, to the end zone, fighting for the ball, making the grab. Dane Sonsenbacher, touchdown, touchdown Bears.
The Bears take on rookie Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts to open the season.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30 Sunday morning on Malaysia.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM. The Laser.
Your news talk and sports station. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Eric Baird has 5 straight completions for the Lions. 16 of 21 passing tonight for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. And a 12-yard pass play to Josh Augusta gives him a new set of downs here at the 48. The Streaks jump off sides, and that'll be a 5-yard penalty against Galesburg.
That must have been some cadence because he had 3 streaks all break the line of scrimmage and touch a helmet there. It wasn't just that he fooled one guy.
He fooled most of the defensive line.
We need somebody, as they say, to make a play here. We need a big defensive play.
Moved it into Galesburg territory now at the... Isn't that a little excessive? They gave him 7 yards on that penalty. That should be back a couple of yards. That was at the 48. They've taken it down to the 45-yard line, and it doesn't get changed. Baird on a delay, and then it's defended well. He tries to move his way forward and just ducks underneath, gets stopped short of the 45-yard line, so he does lose a yard there. I still don't understand the extra 2 yards on the penalty there. It'll be 2nd and 4. 1 minute to go in the third quarter. 18-14 is the Lions' lead. They have it in Galesburg territory at the 46.
Yeah, that. Now I see what you mean. Now I was down the sideline a little bit, but now that I'm here, yeah, it's. I don't know how nobody notices that.
2nd and 4 from the 46. Baird with the direct snap, back to pass, under pressure, dumps it, and it's nearly picked off. It is picked off. Galesburg out of the backside. It's Manny Valdez who gets it in Lions territory at the 49.
We said somebody make a play. Matt Hawkins, a heads-up play, read that one perfectly, stretched out in front of the intended receiver and gets the big interception for the Silver Streaks.
Galesburg takes over in Lions territory with 37 seconds to go here in the third quarter, trailing by 4. Third turnover of the night for Peoria. At the Lions 49-yard line, let's see if the defense can lift the offense here. Diggins goes in motion left to right. Back to pass. Isaacson looking downfield. Wide open. Oh. Holloway drops it at the 20-yard line. He got turned around, but there's a flag down in the backfield, roughing the passer, and the Streaks are going to get a first down anyway. Holloway just got turned around like a center fielder going left when he needed to go right. When he turned around, he still got a hand on the ball. It fell incomplete, but again, the roughing the passer penalty is a big one against the Lions.
Well, you get excited, though, when you see one of your players that got behind the secondary. You know what's possible. And then that one just a hair off the fingertips. But I love the play call.
Yep.
Yeah, after the interception, to try and do something big. Don't just pound the line for a gain. You kind of lose your momentum. But to come up with some big play like that, get the defense back on his heels, get the crowd into it. And that one, even though we didn't complete the pass, we got the penalty and I think accomplished exactly what we hoped for.
They'll move it 15 yards down to the 34-yard line. Up the middle to Mixon. Doesn't gain a whole lot. He stops short of the 30-yard line. He'll pick up a couple on first down. And let's see if the Streaks want to try to get off one more play with under 20 seconds to go here in the third quarter.
Well, it's nice to have the wind at your back, but I don't think we're going to get in any big hurry. In fact, no, Peyton Isaacson just standing over here next to Coach Doherty, and they're going to let the clock expire.
That'll be the end of the third quarter with the Lions on top, 18-14, but stay tuned. We got a tight ball game here in the home opener, and the Silver Streaks are on the move. Down 18-14 at the end of three. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing.
I am good.
Michelle, XYZ.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
WGIL congratulates this week's virtual duck hunt winner, Virgie Shimon of Galesburg. Who knew the virtual duck was at the ATM machine at Wells Fargo Bank? Congratulations from the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation and WGIL.
What a great high school football game we've had tonight to open the home portion of the schedule here at Van Dyke Field. It's been back and forth. The Lions scored first. Galesburg took the lead in the second quarter. The Lions scored again to take a halftime lead. Galesburg regained the lead. Early in the third quarter, the Lions retaliated with a four-point lead. Now Galesburg on a 2nd and 9. Diggins trying to get to the outside. Looked like he slipped trying to plant his foot. And that allowed Eric Johnson to jump on top of him for no gain, maybe even a loss. And now the Streaks facing 3rd and 10 as we open the fourth quarter and 18-14 Peoria lead.
Yeah, I think Trevon that time, you know, realizing the speed of Peoria, he realizes he doesn't have much time to make that corner turn. And in doing that, pushed it a little too hard, lost his footing, and fell down. So it's been a tough night so far for Trevon trying to gain any ground out here.
Yeah, in fact, Diggins with only 8 carries for 11 yards tonight. Silver Streaks, 1 for 7 on third down tonight. Back to pass, Isaacson, sideline, just out of the hand, out of the reach of Will Anderson, and it falls incomplete.
Pretty good attempt. That pass had to cover a lot of ground. We were over here on the near hash mark, or Isaacson threw it, and Anderson was way over on the far side, along the visitor's side there, and that's a tough pass.
Isaacson's third incompletion of the night to go along with 3 pass plays, 63 yards and a touchdown, a 45-yarder to Jonathan Mixon, which was Galesburg's first score of the evening. Now 4th down for the Silver Streaks, 0 for 4 tonight. 0 for 3, rather, on 4th down. Diggins trying to get to the outside, slowed down, cuts upfield, he's got the first down, still on his feet, finally run out of bounds at about the 20. What a run by Trevon Diggins, his best of the night.
No question, because you could see the sidelines getting excited when he got the ball. The first 5 yards were easy, but I thought he was going to have trouble getting to the sticks. There were a couple of Lions there, but he was able to just jag his way right in between them and then slide on for a few extra yards. And what a big run by Diggins for the first down.
After the Peoria High School turnover, the Streaks have now moved it from about midfield down to the Lions' 17-yard line with 11:08 to go in the game. Peoria on top, 18-14. Isaacson ducks underneath.
Broken play.
Yep. Tried to fake the handoff, and then he was under pressure, so he just dives, takes the loss, but keeps the ball. It'll be a loss of a yard back to the Lions' 18-yard line.
Yeah, it's clear. He looked back as if he was ready to give the ball to somebody. There was no one there, and as a good quarterback should do, you don't stand around waiting for something good to happen. You just turn your head and get what you can, and he was able at least to save from getting too big of a loss.
We played about a minute and a half here in the fourth quarter. 18-14 Lions, second and 12 for the Silver Streaks. Anderson lines up wide left. The handoff to Diggins again, trying to get to the outside. Still on his feet. He's got down to the 10-yard line, close to another first down. Streaks will be a few yards short on third down upcoming.
And the most beautiful part about that was watching the blocking of Jonathan Mixon. You know, we talk a lot about his running, and he does carry the bulk of the load, but he loves to get out there and bang it on a lead block, and he was the one that sprung Trevon for those yards right there. Mixon is a powerful blocker as well.
Ball spotted right at the 10-yard line. With under 10 minutes to go in the game, third and three for the Silver Streaks in two-down territory. Up the middle to Ben Holloway, not much there. Holloway lucky to get back to the 10, and it'll be fourth down upcoming.
Yeah, Coach...
Coach Doherty was really upset
that there wasn't a late whistle on that. And that play continued after.
Because Mixon went down pretty good there after the whistle, it looked like.
Yeah, it wasn't anything real flagrant. It was just well after the play. So a big fourth down and about four, maybe five coming up now, and the Streaks are going to talk this one over.
Streaks, again, have not converted on third down since the first quarter. They are 1 of 9 in the game now and 1 of 4 on fourth downs, with a fourth and about four upcoming here. Silver Streaks just outside the 11-yard line. Have to get just inside the 7 for a first down here with 9:22 to go in the game. Trailing 18-14 on a terrific night for high school football and a game that's lived up to what we certainly thought it could be.
Well, this may be the first of a number of plays that we can call this, but to this point, at 9:22 of the fourth quarter, what we're about to see is the biggest play of the game.
Up to this point, yes.
Up to this point.
Because at the rate this one's going,
there
may be some more.
There could be a little more drama. But right now, this is the big one. We'd love to cash in and keep this drive alive. The ball on the just inside the 12 of Peoria.
With 9:22 to go in the game, Silver Streaks have already converted one fourth down on this drive to keep it alive. In motion, Holloway. Handoff goes up the middle. Mixon diving inside the 10-yard line, but he looks to be just short where his knee came down. And the officials don't even measure the knee immediately, signal that the Lions have taken over on downs.
Yeah, he needed to get to about the 6, and he got to the 8.
So he picks up 3 on fourth down, and now the Silver Streaks defense needs another big play. They forced 3 Lions turnovers. They were able to turn one of them around into a score, but not this last one. And the Lions take over at their own 8.
Don't even need a turnover. Just a nice 3 and out would be acceptable.
Sure would. Now actually going to spot the ball at the 9-yard line. Baird with 2 in the backfield joining him. Handoff goes to the left side. And Hale trying to get to the outside. Somersaults over at the 10 up to about the 12. Short gain on first down.
Yeah, Hale would have had more if not for Zane Crowell. Zane able to reach his right hand out. Got a handful of jersey as Hale went by, and it just knocked Hale off balance enough that he was kind of stumbling forward, and that's all he could get. So give Zane Crowell a lot of credit on that one.
It's up to about the 13-yard line for a gain of 4. Most of Hale's offense involved in the game for the Lions has been here in the second half. Don't be fooled by the fact he has only 20 yards rushing tonight. They've been good hard yardage in this kind of situation deep in Lions territory. Gets the handoff again. There's a nice hole across the right side. He squeezes through that and then dives forward again up to the 20-yard line to gain extra yardage after the hit and to help move the chains to the 20 for a first down.
Yeah, big line surge off the right side of the Peoria line that time. Some of the best we've seen all night from the Peoria offensive linemen working together as a group to move the sticks.
Again, on the 11-play scoring drive that the Lions had earlier, they did not face third down on that possession. And here again, they go 2 plays starting inside their own 10-yard line, and just like that, they move it up to the 20 and don't even have to face third down. They're very efficient offensively. Silver Streaks with four D-backs, five at the line of scrimmage, two in the backfield with Baird. He hands off to Hale again. A big hole across the right side, and he's taken down by those secondary defenders for the Silver Streaks up to the 33-yard line. Another big gain on first down for Harrison Hale.
Yeah, good recovery by Matt Kitch. He's quick. That could have been a huge gain. Kitch able to come over from Hale's right side, wrap him up, but not after he picked up another 13.
Just short of the 34-yard line. Credit the Peoria offensive line for creating a monster hole for Hale that sprung him for that big gain. And now approaching the 7.5-minute mark with the Silver Streaks still trailing by four. The Lions with the ball looking to chew up some yardage and some time here and then eventually build the lead. Baird with the direct snap. Hands off again to Hale. Just a straight handoff. He weaves his way into the secondary and tripped up right at the 50-yard line.
Ben Holloway with the tackle, but Silver Streaks getting dominated up front right now. Peoria continuing to work on that right side off of their offensive line. They're big kids, and they're putting together the drive they need here late in this one. Still got a long way to go, but the clock is going to move quickly because you're not going to see them put the ball in the air. I don't think they're going to risk that when they're moving it on the ground this efficiently.
Nope. And certainly already leading by four, a touchdown would make it a two-possession game as we approach the midpoint of the fourth quarter here. 18-14 Lions. First down just short of the 50-yard line. Baird again with the handoff. Same play. Hale trying to move his way right. He breaks through a few more tackles down to the Galesburg 40. He was hit at the line of scrimmage, but Manny Valdez couldn't bring him down. And finally, it was the Silver Streaks taking him down in the secondary with Andrew Barnes finishing him off at the 41, a gain of nine.
Yeah, Matt Hawkins had a shot at him back here, too, and just slipped off of him. And so Hawkins, who made the big interception on that last series, not able to make a tackle in the backfield, and then he gets away and picks up another nine.
It's been Hale every carry on this drive that started at the 9, now to the Galesburg 41. So five carries, 49 yards. Baird gives it to him again. Ooh, big hit! Big hit! Taken down back behind the line of scrimmage as Matt Hawkins came barging through from the left side of that offensive line for the Lions, and he takes Hale down for a loss of two, and that'll bring up third and three.
Didn't slip off him that time, did he? that one brought the crowd back into it.
That was about as square a hit as you could make, I think. All right, the Lions facing third down for only the second time this half. They are 1-for-6 on third downs in this game. Under 5.5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. A 4-point Peoria High School lead. Two wideouts split to the left side of the field. That's Sharon Thompson and Robert Walker. Single setback behind Baird and now whistle as the back judge drops the flag. Are we going to have delay of game? Yes, we do. So moving back 5 yards, that could be a costly penalty for the Lions, and that'll bring up 3rd and 8 now as they march it back to the Galesburg 49 right near midfield.
My hunch is they still won't put it in the air yet, but they might. And if they do, I would see them going to the big kid, Augusta. That's been a safe, I mean, that's almost as safe as running it as long as nobody is able to jump in front of Augusta. And so far tonight, we've not shown anybody that's doing that. So watch for that. Augusta is lining up on the left spot on the tight end if they want to go to the air.
With two wideouts to the left and a single setback behind quarterback Eric Baird. He rolls out to the left, looking that direction. Now he's going to tuck it and keep it, and the Silver Streaks hit him, and he falls forward in first down territory right at the 40. Right at the first down marker is where the Streaks hit him, and all he had to do was take his momentum falling forward, and they move the chains on a big 3rd and 9.
Yep, rolling left. I think he genuinely was looking to throw the ball initially. But as soon as he saw a little green there, he took off and did what he had to do. Silver Streaks closed quickly, but not enough. And the clock now under 5 minutes.
Yep. Huge third down conversion for the Lions, only their second of the night. And the Streaks now desperately need their fourth turnover. Baird hands off right back to Hale, running right across the right side of that line. Tripped up across the 35, down close to the 30-yard line, and that'll bring up second and one. Hale is just running rampant over the Silver Streaks with the offensive line, opening things up on the right side for him.
Yeah, Hale is, he's running hard too. Manny Valdez just got run over right there. He kind of staggered up off the bottom of the pile there. Hale stuck the helmet in there and bowled him over.
He's up to 73 yards rushing now. He had two at halftime. On just 10 carries for the game.
Well, we need a little magic here, guys. Need a little magic.
Second and one from the Galesburg 31-yard line. Under 4 minutes to play with the Streaks down four. Moving right. Here's Baird with the keeper, and he springs free. He's inside the 10. He's got the corner for the touchdown.
What an impressive drive by Peoria Lions against the Silver Streak defense. It was doing all it could, but like the Lions just shifted gears in their running game that time, looked at the clock and said, if we take it downfield and take it to the house, we can go home with a win tonight. And while it's not over, things are looking bleak for the Silver Streaks now, down by 10 with 3:51 to go.
A nine-play scoring drive that becomes their second of the night that started inside their 10-yard line. They had a 97-yard scoring drive earlier. This one covers 91 yards, and they take 5.5 minutes off the clock. The extra point kick is partially blocked and falls well off to the left. So it stays a 10-point game, and that could be crucial if the Streaks can put together another quick scoring drive. 3:51, they'll have to do it remaining in the game. Down 24-14 now. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
WGIL congratulates this week's virtual duck hunt winner, Virgie Shimon of Galesburg. Who knew the virtual duck was at the ATM machine at Wells Fargo Bank? Congratulations from the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation and WGIL.
Three Western Big Six teams battling against three Mid-State Six teams tonight. Here, the Lions lead the Silver Streaks after a nine-play scoring drive. It's 24-14, Peoria with 3:51 to go in the game. At Richwoods, Alleman now leads the Knights 41-26. Quarterback John Tracy with his fourth touchdown run of the night. Here's a high spinning kick taken short, dropped by the Silver Streaks' O'Brien Allen at the 15-yard line. He's trying to feel his way up the middle of the field, and he's nailed pretty hard at about the 25-yard line by Darquise Holman. And the Streaks take over. With a long way to go. They got to march it down 75 yards with 3:46 to go, and actually much less than that because they need to score twice to get back into this game.
Yeah, you would love to have seen a little bigger kickoff return there, but Peoria with a limited kicking game, but they've been pretty smart about the way they've executed their kickoffs, certainly there, and not letting Mixon or Diggins get their hands on it.
Silver Streaks have only one timeout remaining. Back to pass. Isaacson now steps upfield. He sprints toward the sideline at the 30-yard line, tries to slide down out of bounds, and the officials say he was in bounds. Got kind of a high tackle, getting him up around the helmet. Peyton picks up just four after all that. It'll be second and six.
Now, if you needed just one score, you'd feel like you've still got a real good shot, but needing two scores, really fighting an uphill battle going into the wind, but the wind has died down a lot. That flag was blowing out of the north toward the south, and it was straight out through most of the first half and early second half. Now it's occasionally have a little gust, but by and large it's a lot more calm.
Heck of a job by the Lions to keep Peyton Isaacson in bounds where he was trying to stop the clock. Hand off to Mixon across the left side. He tucks that ball underneath, protects it, bullies his way close to the 35-yard line. He'll be a yard short of the first down. With third down upcoming.
Well, I know this much after playing this Peoria team and seeing how solid they are in many locations. I don't want to play Simeon anytime real soon. They beat Peoria 34-0 last weekend. Just dominate them. Of course, Simeon's an 8A team, but any team that goes out and just thrashes them like that has got to be awful strong.
High toss to Diggins, trying to cut upfield out of the backfield. He gets the first down across the 35-yard line, and that'll stop the clock while they move the chains with 2:27 to go here in the ball game. Galesburg down 10 now. Oh, actually, they're going to move the ball back a little farther than I thought they would. They're going to spot it right at the 36-yard line. It's the streak's first third down conversion since the first quarter. And there's the whistle. So start the clock again now from the Galesburg 36-yard line. Isaacson rolling back. Yeah. There's nobody to hand off to, and he just has to go down with it and take the loss. Again, guys running away from him. Isaacson looking for somebody to hand off to, and there was nobody there.
Yep. And, I mean, that a lot of times you think it's the running back's fault, but sometimes maybe it's the quarterback turning the wrong way, too. It can be his fault as well. So from the sidelines, you really never know. Only the coaches know what should have happened there that didn't.
Loss of 2, second and 12 for the Silver Streaks with under 2 minutes to go in the game. How soon will they go to the air? They hand off to Holloway coming from the right. Finds an opening with a lead blocker. Tracked down from behind. Short of the 50-yard line, it was Martez Cox who chased him down. Holloway was feeling his way through some open running room across the near side of the field, but Cox took him down at the 48. He still picked up 14, but it looked like it could have been more.
And with the clock at 1:40 and counting, about the only way you want to get a touchdown, then you'd have to go with an onside kick. There's no way you could give possession up again. Pass completed to Anderson. He breaks one tackle over here. Ends up being only a gain of about 4, though, I think.
Yeah, he gets into Lions territory. They're going to mark him at the 47-yard line, so he'll pick up 5 on the pass play. Isaacson's first completion since the first half, but defended well by the Lions as they keep it from moving the chains as we approach a one-minute mark and the Streaks out of timeouts. Thought they had one left. They have none. Back to pass Isaacson on 2nd and 5. Got to look sideline. He throws behind Mixon a little bit, and it falls incomplete, and then he's hit a little bit late. Some barking from the press box. Some of the Galesburg coaches up here wanting a late hit on Cox as he just couldn't stop his momentum coming in trying to take down Mixon.
Well, I've got to think this game is pretty good preparation for what we're going to see next week. I've got to think Moline is pretty still. They're big, we're told. I mean, they're not as big as Augusta, but they're a big team up front. Probably aren't as fast at every position as Central is, but I think pretty similar.
Back to pass on 3rd and 5, and then a delayed handoff, and that just had no chance. I don't know if Mixon even realized that Isaacson was going to hand him the ball. He handed it to him, and there were two defenders right there to just take him down, and now Galesburg did have a timeout, and they did burn the last one here.
And the final one was Augusta. And, you know, we talk about how strong John Mixon is, but when Augusta grabbed a hold of him, John looked like a little boy. he just got flattened. That kid is something else. You talk about how important one player is on a football field. I mean, especially when we found out that he can catch passes as well as everything that he does along the line of scrimmage. Wow. Yeah, he's definitely a Big Ten recruit. I have no doubt about it.
Yep.
After seeing his performance here tonight. He's big time.
Well, it's been a fun night here at the home opener as Galesburg played well. It was an exciting back-and-forth game, but the Lions did exactly what they had to do, taking over from their own 9-yard line with just under 9:20 to go in the ball game, and they moved it downfield 91 yards in 9 plays, took nearly 5.5 minutes off the clock, and the Silver Streaks taking over down 2 possessions with under 4 minutes to go. This could be the last offensive play of the game, but it won't be. It's a sideline pass to Trevon Diggins, and he manages to, or rather Jonathan Mixon, finds his way forward to the Lions' 40-yard line. So a fourth down conversion by the Silver Streaks. And they get a new set of downs at the 40 after a gain of 12. But under 43 seconds and counting. And the Silver Streaks down 10. Dropping back with a deep route. Isaacson across the middle, juggled by Anderson and dropped incomplete. And he was a yard short of the first down marker anyway. That stops the clock with under 34 seconds to play.
Now, this is where you'd love to have a deep threat, a real burner that can get down the field and give the defense some problems. But that's one thing we do not have on this. We got some speed, but not necessarily at the wide receiver position, at least separation type of speed. So the deep ball, unless a defensive back falls down, probably not going to work.
Yeah, even the 45-yard touchdown to Mixon earlier was
right,
really about
pass.
A 10-yard route. Back to pass again. Isaacson looking deep down the near sideline. There's nobody there except a lion. And Sharon Thompson with the clean pick. So either Isaacson didn't realize his own strength, his receiver didn't realize how far Peyton could throw it, or they just ran the wrong route. And all Sharon Thompson, like a center fielder, had to do is camp under it, pick it off, and that'll be the ball game with 25 seconds to go. And the Streaks weren't in a position to be able to win the game at that juncture anyway.
Yeah, it looks like the Alleman game has tightened up. They lead Richwood's 35-26 now. Tom Meredith texts that to us. He says with 3:57 to play.
Oh, no. John Tracy scored again, so it's 41-26.
Okay, I'm behind one then.
So Tracy has 4 touchdown runs and 2 passes tonight for touchdowns. And that was with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game. And now the Lions just have to take a knee, and that's the ball game. A good game, but the Streaks aren't interested in moral victories. Coming off a 1-8 season and a 2-0 start, looking to go 3-0 for the first time again since that 82 season. Played well, but that's not going to help them sleep tonight. When we come back on the post-game show, we'll get a word with the Streaks head coach, Tim Doherty. 24-14, the final. The Lions spoil Galesburg's home opener. Post-game show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Attention GIs, if you're planning to use the post-9/11 GI Bill to attend school anytime this year, you need to take action to help us make sure you get your benefits. Get eligibility and benefits information online at gibill.va.gov or text GI Bill to 99702. Visit gibill.va.gov today to apply for the education benefits you've earned or text GI Bill to 99702 to learn more. And thank you for your service to our country.
Life is busy, and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, dance lessons, errands, and deadlines. Cratty Insurance Agency, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. Cratty Insurance will take the time to find affordable auto, home, and business insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call or stop by their office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Cratty Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL. WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Postgame coverage, Silver Streaks football here on WGIL and WGIL.com. An entertaining game for the home opener for the Silver Streaks, which started off a little differently tonight in the fact that the rain that we got in the afternoon caused the high school officials to decide to postpone the freshman game that was scheduled to be played before the varsity game. They didn't want to get the field all torn up on a wet night. So everything got started right on time here, and it was a back-and-forth game. The Lions scored first in the first quarter. Silver Streaks responded in the second quarter. It was just back-and-forth after that, but the Lions got the killer touchdown with just under 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they end up winning this one 24-14. So we'll hear from Coach Tim Doherty here momentarily. An entertaining game to watch, but hopefully that doesn't dissuade the home crowd from coming back when the Silver Streaks come back here in 2 weeks for their first home game in the Western Big Six. Galesburg will battle Moline on the road next Friday night. And at last word, the Maroons were down 27-2 to Crete Monee, the number one team in the Class 6A ranking. So Moline hung in there in the first quarter, down 7-2. But I guess, Jim Lee, no big surprise that here we go into the Western Big Six with Alleman on top over everybody, and that's certainly no shock there.
Well, and you've got it'll be interesting to see what the other teams in the Big Six can do. I mean, Moline's a defending champions, and they're good. You've got Rock Island, who's just dangerously.
I mean, right.
Everybody just doesn't want to see those guys touch the ball at all. It's like they said, a track team in spikes, and Richwood's found that out last week. They've got scoring potential on every play. So
Metamora.
Metamora, excuse me. They beat them last week. And, you know, United Township and I think Galesburg had both raised some eyebrows through the first couple of weeks of the season. And even in the loss here tonight, I still think the Silver Streaks have really exceeded expectations to this point of the season. This was a good game, and Coach Doherty is coming over to us right now.
Okay. So we'll hear from the head coach about this win here tonight. And Streaks fall by a final of 24-14.
I guess it'll be another minute, Brad.
All right, that's all right. You mentioned UT, Jim. They're getting a little more dose of reality tonight. We talked about the three games that are going on. That's kind of the preview of the Mid-State 6 Western Big 6 merger for next year. There were three games going on tonight involving three teams from each side, this being one of them, the Alleman-Richwoods game being one, and then UT and Peoria Notre Dame, but the Irish leading that one at last word 33-0. And, of course, UT trying to rebuild a program up there as well under Coach Litchfield. And they got a big win early in the season, a one-point win over Dixon that I think was an emotional one for them. And then got a huge start against LaSalle Peru last week when they jumped up 21-7, but ended up losing that one 41-21. So another hard loss for UT tonight. And United ended up losing 33-6 to Mercer County. Might have heard the roar coming through Jim's microphone down on the field. That, unfortunately, was a celebratory roar of the Lions, not of the Silver Streaks.
You know, and as I'm watching Peoria, and we talked about Josh Augusta, their big kid. He's all smiles now, and it reminds me a little bit of Michael Orr. If you saw the movie of the lineman that ended up going to the Baltimore Ravens, he's got that big smile. And
the Blind Side.
Yeah, the Blind Side. And, you know, you'd never know Josh had that it was called a mean streak, but pretty aggressive. We saw him slam some guys to the turf tonight in an impressive fashion, and he's getting a lot of congrats over here by a number of folks from Peoria right now.
And a nice gesture by Coach Tim Doherty, who was aware that the Lions were breaking huddle and getting ready to head to the locker room, and before they did that, he came over and gave a big pat on the back to quarterback Eric Baird, who I thought was just terrific tonight.
Yeah, he really was. He's a multiple threat. He throws the ball well. He got good speed, and I thought he managed the game really well. You never really knew what they were coming at you with. And the difference in this game was that last drive for their final touchdown when they utilized Hale and went off the right side of that line, and he was great, and the line blocked, and that was, if you take the whole course of this ball game, that one drive is what sealed the deal.
Sure enough. A few other scores to pass along before we get a word with Coach Doherty here. Havana defeated Knoxville tonight 20-0, so the Ducks now 3-0 in the season as Knoxville loses for the first time this season. Let's see. What was the other game I wanted to mention here? All right, Farmington over Rushville Industry 17-6. So the Farmers improved to 3-0 on the season.
Yeah, and you know, I look at the Abingdon Commandos. They had such a three-point loss to Farmington. Then they had to go over to Elmwood Brimfield and played them even for 20 points and then got blown out last week. Then playing always a good Lewiston program tonight. And that's pretty, you know, when you start the season with three real tough ones like that, sometimes it's hard to recover. And Tim just ran away from us here. I hope he comes back.
Why don't we take a break here on the post-game show? When we come back, we'll work in some post-game statistics. We'll get a word with the head coach as well and recap this game as we can work it in here. Streaks fall tonight to the Lions, their first loss of the season, 24-14 the final. You're listening to post-game coverage of Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I can't remember a time when OSF Healthcare wasn't there for my family. They were there for me when I injured my arm climbing a tree with my sister. They were there the day my son was born, the day Dad had his heart attack, and they were there the day he went home. Now that Dad needs help at home, we count on OSF Home Care Services, a part of OSF, so we know he's in the best of hands. They have everything he needs, home medical equipment, oxygen units, and certified home health nurses that care, really care. They even talked with us about the benefits of hospice. Now we all feel so much more informed. I've always taken comfort in knowing OSF is there for my family, but knowing they can also provide care for my family in our home, that's maybe the most comforting feeling of all.
To learn more, visit osfhomecare.org or call 800-673-5288. OSF Healthcare. All together, better.
Local news and conversations with local newsmakers. The WGIL Evening News with Bob O'Connor, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14.
Well, after a long rain delay in St. Louis, the Cardinals are finally underway.
Well, they were just waiting until we got done.
So that's how it's going to end up turning out, isn't it? I think we're going to have Cardinal baseball here on WGIL when we get done. But at the bottom of the first inning, Giovanni Gallardo is still pitching for Milwaukee. So often with those long rain delays, you see the scheduled starter might end up getting pushed back a day or maybe even not at all, and have to get pushed back until his next start or something. Oh, now the Cardinals have taken a 1-0 lead. Matt Carpenter doubled, and that scored John Jay. So already maybe Milwaukee should have taken Giovanni Gallardo and not pitched him tonight. And checking to see if Kyle Loesch was scheduled to pitch for the Cardinals tonight. Yeah. Both of them going for their 15th win.
Well, it is interesting. I saw a thing today that said that he'd won his last 8 starts, and I thought, he got bombed the last time out. And I thought, oh, that's right. That was the game they came back and won Washington.
Yeah, and they actually came back and took the lead while he was still in the game. Mm-hmm. And then Washington tied it up, so he ended up getting a no decision
that one. Right.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the final statistics here in our post-game coverage as we still await a word with head coach Tim Doherty. Galesburg falls at home tonight to the Lions of Peoria High School by a final of 24-14. Harrison Hale, the leading rusher on the night for the Lions with 73 yards, but again, 71 of those in the second half and 63 of them on the culminating drive that allowed Peoria to take the 10-point lead and end up winning the game. So 63 of his 73 yards on the final Peoria possession that ended up being the game winner for them. Moses McConnell, streaks ended up slowing him down pretty effectively. He had 6 carries for 69 yards tonight, but the first time he touched the ball, he ran for 37 yards, and then the streaks held him to just another 32 after that. Eric Baird, the quarterback, 12 carries for 41 yards tonight. Robert Walker had a 10-yard run for his only carry. And Kenquell Carter had a 6-yard touchdown run, the only rushing touchdown of the night for Peoria. Eric Baird finished the night 16 of 22 passing, including 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for Baird, and 175 yards passing. The leading receiver on the night was Josh Augusta, 5 receptions for 64 yards. Moses McConnell had 3 receptions for 52 yards, including a 35-yard touchdown. Martez Cox had the other 5 receptions for 40 yards. Peoria penalized 4 times tonight for just 32 yards. For the Silver Streaks, leading rusher tonight, Jonathan Mixon. Boy, did the Lions do a number on him tonight or what? 99 yards is still pretty good. But when you've rushed for 547 yards in the first 2 games to get held to 99, that's pretty impressive by the Lions defense. 18 carries for 99 yards. Jonathan did have a 39-yard touchdown run very early on in the second half that put Galesburg on top at the time, 14-12. Silver Streaks would relinquish that lead and did not lead again the rest of the night. Trevon Diggins had 10 carries for a hard-earned 20 yards tonight. Ben Holloway was kind of the curveball out of that running back group, and he did have some success, 4 carries for 37 yards. Peyton Isaacson had 5 carries for, ended up no gain out of those 5. He was lost some yardage a couple of times on some broken plays, just had to fall on it, and ended up with no yards rushing. Isaacson was able to throw the ball more tonight than he had in the previous 2 games. 6 for 12 passing with an interception. He did have 92 yards and a 45-yard touchdown pass to Jonathan Mixon. It was really more of a 10-yard catch and run by Mixon to finish with 3 receptions tonight, 65 yards, including that touchdown. O'Brien Allen had a 10-yard reception. And Will Anderson had 1 5-yard catch on the closing drive for the Silver Streaks as they desperately tried to move it downfield and get back within 3 or 4 points late in the game, but they ended up giving the ball up on downs. Galesburg finished the night from third downs tonight, 5-7, just 2 for 11 on third down tonight, and the Silver Streaks were 2 for 6 on fourth downs. Peoria High School wasn't a whole lot better on third down. They were 2 of 7. But the only third down conversion they had in the second half was a big one a 12-yard gain when they faced 3rd and 9 on that closing drive that they ended up getting what ultimately proved to be the finishing touchdown. So not many third down conversions tonight for Peoria. Part of that was because they just didn't face third down a whole lot. They had some scoring drives that first and second down and then right back to first down and never faced third down on the drive. So, again, just a very impressive performance by Peoria tonight. And don't discount what the Silver Streaks did. There were previous years where they wouldn't have even been in this game as well as the Lions played tonight. It was just a really enjoyable, fun high school football game to watch here tonight. But if you're a Galesburg fan, still disappointed by the outcome.
Hey, you know, it's indicative of how good a game it was, because when I looked at my watch at the end of the game, I expected it to be about 9 o'clock. It was 9:45. A lot of times, you know, these games drag on and you're thinking, oh, please just end. But this one was so good from start to finish. I mean, it was in doubt all the way. And, teams lined up, matched up very evenly. Again, I think the better team probably won out here tonight, all things told. The Streaks did make some opportunities, forced a few turnovers. And the beautiful thing for Galesburg is, even though they lost this game and through the first 3 weeks of this season, so many times over the years, the Silver Streaks beat themselves.
Yes.
They beat themselves with turnovers and beat themselves with penalties. You can't say that out here tonight at all. They lost the game, but they lost because the other team was just a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and executed a little bit better down the stretch. But other than that, just a real solid effort again. And in fact, I was listening to the brief huddle they had out here following the game with the team, and Coach Doherty was really not upset at all. Obviously, he wants to win football games, but he told them, "Hey, you guys played a really good ball game against a very good football team." And he said, "I'm very proud of you tonight." So. It's so nice too. I've been in so many of these post game huddles that are, you know, the coach is just trying to come up with something positive to say to keep the troops going through the final two thirds of the season. That's not necessary here. These kids believe in his system themselves. They're working hard, and we don't know what their final record will be, but this is just really probably the most solid Galesburg team we've seen in a long time, and they're going to give us a good season all through the year.
You know, when you talk about Galesburg beating themselves in the past, you know, from that perspective, you've got to think that the Peoria coaching staff probably feels somewhat fortunate to get out of here with a win tonight. They had 4 touchdowns and no extra point conversions, yep, just like Galesburg last week. And they had 3 turnovers, too, a fumble and 2 interceptions. And despite all those mistakes, they still came out of here with a victory. So yeah, there's a team that overcame some misplays of their own.
Well, and you know what? I think it was the 9:22 mark we were talking about potentially the biggest play of the game to that point, and I think to the end, it turned out to be the biggest play of the game. The Silver Streaks had a 4th down, just shy of the 10-yard line, I think, trying to drive for what would have been the go-ahead score, and came up about 2 yards short, got it near the 8-yard line, and from that point on, that's where Peoria took it, drove it all the way down, and sealed the game. And so that was, you know, if we convert and go in there, we are going right down to the last minute. But as the case was, the Lions had just enough defense to hold the Streaks out and then go ahead and put a little icing on the cake.
Cardinals add another run in the bottom of the first. They go into the second, leading Milwaukee 2-0, and Kyle Loesch is pitching tonight for the Cardinals, looking for his 15th win, despite the long rain delay from earlier.
I do have word out over to the sidelines to Coach's family that if he emerges from the locker room, that we would love to talk with him. Hopefully we'll get that done tonight. A little bit different. Usually they'll talk for, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes in the huddle, but he was very brief in his address to the team, said, "I'll talk to you a little bit later." And then I think after doing a few other things out here on the field, felt like he needed to scramble back in there and talk to the team a little bit more. So it's just a matter of how much more he's got to go through, whether we'll get him out here tonight.
All right, we'll take a break here on the post-game show. When we come back, we'll see if we can't get a word with head coach Tim Doherty after this game, and certainly also give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game as well. 24-14, the Lions win it here tonight, spoiling the Streaks' home opener. Galesburg heads to Moline next Friday night. You're listening to Silver Streaks post-game coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, by Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Pratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. Ask them about details of money-saving auto home discount. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premiums. For more information, call the Pratty Insurance Agency on North Henderson Street in Galesburg today and start saving.
Element number 7. They call it nitrogen on the periodic table, but can you trust a table that's a table only periodically? Now they say nitrogen's good for putting in your tires. Would you put fertilizer in your tires? What's the matter with good, clean American air?
Excuse me. Nitrogen is actually very good instead of air. It doesn't leak easily. It helps stability. It's actually pretty good.
Do they hate American air?
No. Nitrogen is actually better. Check it out anytime at Car-Mart Tire and Auto in the Sandburg Mall.
Honey?
Yeah?
Be honest.
Okay.
Do you love me solely because of my devastating good looks?
Yes.
But what about my brain? How about now?
Wow.
A veritable feast all ordered off McDonald's dollar menu.
A beefy McDouble sandwich, fruit and yogurt parfait, a refreshing sweet tea.
All delicious and only a buck each.
I was so wrong, honey.
That's all right.
Now I do love you for your brain.
And my dimpled chin.
McDonald's dollar menu. The simple joy of being smart. At participate in McDonald's, a la carte only.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Tim Lee, post-game coverage. Silver Streaks football continues here on WGIL and WGIL.com. Galesburg falls in its home opener 24-14 to the Lions of Peoria High School, a team that will be on the schedule for the foreseeable future with the merger for football purposes next season of the Mid-State 6 and the Western Big 6. Some final scores to pass along to you. Alama did go ahead and finish off Peoria Richwood's 41-26. Moline falling to Crete Monee, the number one team in Class 6A, by a final of 34-2. Notre Dame handles United Township 40-8. Up at the Soul Bowl tonight, it was Morris over Geneseo 43-0.
Wow, and I thought Geneseo was back this year, but and they're probably still not too bad, but Morris is always really tough.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
We're going to get Coach.
Oh, here he comes. And the other score winner to pass along, at least for the moment, Mercer County beat United 33-6. Jim, take it away. Let's hear what the coach has to say.
All right, Coach, thanks for coming back out here and for a great game tonight. If it was Brad and I were talking, this was just a good, solid high school football game to watch. And, you know, we couldn't help but wonder at the 9:22 mark when we came up 2 yards shy of that first down inside their 10, that if that wouldn't be the play of the game. And as it turned out, I guess that was really the key point of the game.
Well, I think there's several. As we look back on it, take a chance or get a chance to look at the film, there's probably going to be several plays. But obviously, fan in the stands, that's a key play. We get a first down and maybe punch it in, but there were opportunities we just didn't capitalize. Central's a very good football team, very skilled, and they were operating on all cylinders with their offense. And you know, hats off to our guys. You know, I thought we did very well on defense, gave one at the end, but you know, You got to make plays on both sides of the ball in key situations. There's probably five or six situations a game we just didn't make plays.
Yeah. Well, and they give you so many things you got to consider. Baird, a multiple threat at quarterback. Hale was really a terrific running back in that final drive. Of course, lining up Augustine, using him in pass plays, and the McConnell kid. It wasn't like you could just key on one thing with this bunch.
No, they have a lot of skills. I mean, you just mentioned all of them, and I thought we contained them as well as we could have. But again, we had a dropped interception, and just didn't defend at key times to win ball games like this. But again, I'm real proud of our kids. It's probably the most fight we've had in a kid in my kid since I've been here. And, you know, we'll get better because of it, I think.
Josh Augusta, we talked about, we knew what a force he'd be along the line of scrimmage, but to be able to put him in pass formation, and he makes it so tough because, you know, I'm on the sidelines thinking, well, why can't we get somebody in front of him and deflect the ball? But, I mean, he's such a big target, and they get the ball to him pretty quickly. They don't waste time.
Well said. The quarterback's a very gifted kid. He's thrown to a Division I player, you know, and you're not mentioning the other weapons that they have, so it's not like, you know, we got five guys on 97. So they're just, you know, they were operating on all cylinders tonight offensively, and we just needed a couple of plays defensively and just didn't get him at the right times.
Our kicking game pretty solid. Sykes has been punting the ball in terrific fashion, especially a couple of those with the wind with him tonight. And I could tell it looked like you put a little extra work, I thought, on conversions because we struggled last week. Tonight, very solid on our two extra points, and that can come in pretty handy in a close game.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, and it's just a part of, you know, the learning process. Those two kids have only been playing football for a couple of weeks now, so they're going to continue. And I thought you know, did a nice job, and so did Tanner. So, you know, they did a nice job.
Well, again, a great effort tonight. I think everybody enjoyed the game, but just a little short, 2-1. And as you always say, you forget about it for a little while, and then I think a team next week kind of similar to this bunch, big and athletic in Moline.
They don't get easier.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty for stopping by. Following the game, Silver Streaks fall tonight 24-14. Let's run through some other scores quickly before we give you our Davis Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. Abingdon does get that first win of the year.
And yeah, good for them.
They take it out on Lewistown, 47-14 tonight. Mentioned the Knoxville loss to Havana, 20-0. It was Farmington over Rushville Industries, 17-6. And were there any others that I wanted to mention? I think that was the one from, that was it from that website. I was hoping to get an Elmwood Brimfield Beardstown score because I was very curious about that one. But
one of the best tests for Elmwood Brimfield probably this season.
Yeah, I would think so. But no such luck on that one. Take one look at this here, see if there's anything to pass along. I don't think there will be. So our only order of business, Jim, at this point, is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. And a little tough for tonight. We've really got to think about this one and negotiate this one. I thought,
I've got one in mind.
Okay, well, let's hear what you got. Because well, I think I know who I would go with, too. Let's see if we're on the same page.
I've got a lean with the third turnover we created, Matt Hawkins with an interception.
That's where I was going to.
When Peoria had the ball and they were up and Hawkins able to make that interception and then as a result of that, we drove it down, but that was where we came up just a little bit shy, and I thought at that point that was really a huge play because Hawkins, it was a heady play, too. It wasn't like he was just standing there and all of a sudden the ball showed up.
Right.
he read the play and was able to dive out there and make a nice interception.
Well, and then there was the big hit he put on,
yes,
on the Hale kid, too, as the Lions were. Unfortunately, that didn't, I mean, it slowed him down, but it didn't stop him, but Streaks needed that one when they got it from him, too. So he came up big on that drive, too.
Yeah, and we called his name quite a bit tonight. And so I'm very comfortable with going Matt Hawkins route tonight for our Crunch Time Player of the Game.
And our thanks to Dave's Auto Body for, as always, being a part of the Crunch Time Player of the Game. Jim, we'll see you next week at Moline, as you and the coach indicated. I mean, you know, it's been a nice start in the non-conference run, but Streaks really want to keep this momentum going. They will, if they can get that win, first time in 20 years to beat Moline next week, well, then we really can say we're on the way to something because they'll earn it hard next week
they
if they're going to get it.
Don't be fooled when you see Moline only scoring 2 points tonight because they did that against the top-rated team in their class in the state at their place.
On the road, right.
Yeah. They'll be all we can handle, I'm sure, next week.
Thanks, Jim. We'll see you next week.
Okay, thanks.
24-14 the final. The Lions defeat the Silver Streaks in Galesburg's home opener here tonight at Van Dyke Field. Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, our broadcast engineer, for keeping things under control for us and allowing you to be a part of this broadcast here tonight. Thanks to you as well for being with us, and we'll be back with you next Friday night. Galesburg at Moline, opening the Western Big Six Conference in 1 week. For Jim Lee, for Nick Simpson, I'm Brad Benowitz. The Lions defeat the Silver Streaks 24-14. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.